Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
612, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Happy Friday, everybody. This is going to be an unbelievable weekend. You got the Blackhawks. You got Easter happening.
Cubs Pirates.
Beautiful day on Saturday. Let's check out weather. Is Tim McGill ready to roll?
Ready to roll.
Tim, hey. I mean, everybody's talking 80s on Saturday. Is this true?
This is true. Yeah. You know, I'm a little gun shy. I want 79, but I think many areas south of the city, especially our southwest suburbs, they're going to top 80, maybe into the low 80s. So very possible even O'Hare could get up to 80 degrees on Saturday. Nice and warm. And the good news is the timing as far as the rain goes, you're going to hear a lot of mentions of showers and thunderstorms. Most of it's overnight. Even today, I think our best chance for rain is going to come around 5 or 6 o'clock tonight, overnight tonight, out of here by sunrise tomorrow morning. We'll see sun, a gusty southwest wind on Saturday. And then Saturday night into early Sunday morning, we'll see some more rain, but might see a shower linger through about 6 or 7 o'clock Sunday morning, Easter Sunday. So if you're going to sunrise service, you might need an umbrella. But then the rest of Easter
sunrise
Sunday
Sunrise service, what is that, 6:45 Mass?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, you might see a shower between 6 and 7 o'clock, but then much of the rest of the day is going to be pretty dry.
Okay, I live downtown, so it's always 10 degrees cooler. So we're looking at 70 tomorrow?
Tomorrow, downtown? No, even the lakefront. Yeah, we're going to have a gusty yes. southwest wind, so it's going to overcome any kind of lake breeze. It won't develop tomorrow. You're going to see 80, near 80 all the way up through the lakeshore.
So yes. if you're looking to do something this weekend, Cub game on Saturday is perfect.
Yeah, wind blowing out, it'll be great.
Sunny, having a beer in your hand.
You're
God, there's nothing better.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So this is a fantastic weekend. Everybody loves Tim McGill this weekend.
Don't talk to me if I'm wrong, though, okay? Just
if it starts sprinkling tomorrow afternoon, somebody punches you in the neck at the supermarket.
No, please
McGill,
don't.
Get over here!
You won't see me if it's wrong.
What about next week? Are we looking at rain, or are we going to ride this wave?
You know, we've got kind of an unsettled pattern next week, which is a way of saying that. Yeah, we'll see some scattered showers and storms, but I think that's mainly Tuesday and Wednesday next week. Monday should be dry, 60s through the middle of next week. And we fall into the 50s, looks like, towards about Thursday. So I'm a little unsettled next week, but the timing working out great for this weekend, especially tomorrow.
God, we dodged a bullet this winter. I mean, it's been just great weather.
Yeah, we were like more than 10 inches below normal in snowfall.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
No problems with that.
Thanks, Tim.
Sure, have a good one.
Okay. I mean, talk about a perfect weekend.
Can you not think about the long-term future here? You had one good winter, and we didn't get enough snow. We need more snow, Pete McMurray.
No, we don't need snow.
Yeah, it's not over yet.
No, it's over. It is over.
When is it officially over?
Well, I was walking my dog this week, and I noticed that people have put down grass seed. That's why I brought it up with Plyer.
Well, yeah, because the tulips already come up and died. Mm-hmm. Well, mine have anyway.
It's too early to plant stuff. I know you want to get in front of it, but you just can't do it. Fertilizer, okay. Not a problem. Grass seed, no.
Didn't know you had the green thumb type of talents.
I love working on my yard.
Do you really?
Big yard guy. Like, and I live in the city, so people driving right now, that your visual is your master bath. That's how big my front yard is. Okay? But I'm obsessed with it.
Do you want to come over and work on mine? That would
yes,
be great.
No problem. I'll bring my mower over and the whole deal.
What type of hour commitment are we going on when you really dive in on a weekend?
I'm not kidding when I say this, because I time myself. My wife thinks I'm nuts. 11 minutes start to finish to mow my lawn. Okay, 11 minutes. But to manicure it and do everything else, it takes me 90 total.
You're a
90 minutes.
You're a different cat. You know that, right?
What's the use of cutting your lawn if you don't edge it? You need to edge your lawn.
You seem like the type that makes the whole family go back out there and, you know, really praise you for your work.
Right. I make everyone look at the yard.
Did I do a good job?
Guys, let's sit back. Well, if it's a Saturday afternoon, I'm grabbing a beer and I'm just staring at my lawn. That's what you do.
My husband won't let me mow the lawn because you have to make those perfect lines, you know, the diagonal lines.
Yep.
And I don't like to do that. So he's like, oh, you can't mow the lawn.
You got to have lines.
If you don't make lines, what pattern are you using?
Well, you can go in a square. You know,
nope.
You kind of go up and down.
No, you don't go up and down.
You can do a square thing.
No, thank you for that.
What do you mean you don't go up and down? What do you do?
Yeah.
Side by side. Well, I don't do diagonal. My yard's too short. It's too small.
It sounds like you have a rectangle, and that's all you have.
Right.
And you can barely lay in it.
That's it.
Like your legs are on
yes.
the sidewalk.
Yeah, and I want to grow grass. And I have a dog.
Do you have an electronic edger, or do you use one of the old manual push ones that I grew up with?
Thank you for that, Dave. I grew up with one of those, too. I have the battery-operated that I bought from Home Depot.
Battery-operated?
Yes,
so
Home Depot.
You don't even plug it in with $99.99. The 50-foot cord that you cut.
I can't remember the brand, but it's green.
Uh-huh.
It's a weed whacker and an edger.
Dave Plyer just told us in the opening bell that because of Home Depot and Amazon, all other retailers are going out of business.
It happens. My grandfather had a grocery store for years, and the big guys came in, and you close. It just happens. Mm-hmm. You know.
So you've got your $99 edger.
I did. Yeah.
Do you do this early in the morning? Is it with a coffee, or is it like an afternoon iced tea?
No, I like to work out on Saturday mornings and work on the yard.
Oh, this guy right. and his workouts.
Yeah. Why does everybody hate me? I mean, I can't help it if I'm beautiful.
We did circles. I liked it. I like your workouts, Pete. I'm pro you. I'm pro you working out. You too, Mary.
Me too.
Mary,
I work out every day.
I feel like I need to get together and talk yards with your husband sometime.
Yeah, for sure. Come on over.
I may go home today and just kind of stare at my yard.
Have you fertilized yet?
I have not. I was going to do it this weekend. I have raked and cleaned it up. I did that last weekend.
You did?
Yes.
Good. Oh, man, you're ahead of the game.
That must have taken 15 minutes.
Thanks, Dave.
Wait, what happens if you see a dog in the neighborhood?
I call him off.
You do, don't you?
Yes. And when I grow grass in the summertime around my parkway, you know, you have the sidewalk and then you parkway and then the street, I put yellow tape around it for a month. My wife hates it. The caution tape that I bought at the Home Depot. Swear to God.
Yeah, no, he's totally
serious. Swear to you. I swear. Because the dogs walk in the neighborhood and they will take a leak on your yard.
Can't have that.
And if you want to grow grass, you can't have people and dogs doing their thing.
That's fertilizer.
Thank you.
It's homemade fertilizer.
No, not
the
urine. It kills the grass.
Oh, it kills the grass. Pete.
And I put the yellow tape around my yard and I'm okay with it every year. And I take a picture and put it on social media.
If I had an animal.
Oh, boy.
And I lived in your neighborhood, I would try to attack your lawn. I know that's wrong, but that's what I would do.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the Top 6 at 6.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
6.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is 6.
The Top 6 at 6 on 720 WGN.
Top 6 at 6. At number 1, officials in Afghanistan said that dozens of militants had been killed after the U.S. dropped the most powerful conventional bomb in its arsenal on Afghanistan. The mother of all bombs. Dave Schwann?
Yes, good morning, Pete. Now we have a word that 36 fighters with ISIS were killed in this attack on a tunnel complex near the Pakistan border. Afghan officials now saying no civilian casualties. So all 36 that were killed were a part of the Islamic State group at that tunnel complex there. But the MOAB, the mother of all bombs, the largest non-nuclear weapon ever used in combat by the U.S. military. I also saw a story yesterday that when this bomb was developed, the military and the Pentagon were looking for, you know, clarification on use of something like this. And,
right.
Evidently got the go-ahead to do it. So
you see the size of this thing on TV last night?
I can't believe it. Yeah, it looked like a rocket. Laying horizontally, you know, you could put it up vertically, and you would think it would be some kind of a missile.
You needed a cargo plane to transport it.
Yeah.
China's foreign minister Wang Yi says that a U.S.-North Korea conflict could break out at any moment. Well, of course. I mean, this has been going on for a while, and we need China's help. Are they going to step up and help us, Dave?
Yeah, that remains to be seen with all that's going on there. We now have word that President Trump's tweets are adding a fuel to what's called a vicious cycle. This word from North Korea on the tensions there. This from the vice minister of North Korea. An interview with the Associated Press, he said that if the U.S. shows any sign of military aggression, Pyongyang, North Korea's capital, is ready to launch a preemptive strike of its own. He also warns we will go to war if need be.
So tomorrow is the anniversary of the founder of North Korea.
The founder of North Korea.
Okay.
They also call him the Eternal President. That's the name for them. And they also are saying they're primed and ready for any type of a launch. They have done some military action to show some sign of strength in the past at the birthday, the anniversary of the nation's founder.
And the United States said yesterday we could have a preemptive strike if they try to do this.
Yeah. So, you know,
this could go down tomorrow. just to let everybody know.
Yeah.
Okay. At number three, the top six is six. According to reports, the kitchen at President Trump's Florida estate was slammed with 13 health violations.
How about it? Restaurant inspectors finding several code violations, this going back to 10 violations specifically, January 26th, this report from the Miami Herald. They've conducted six inspections at this resort since June of 2014. The club was found to have met inspection standards after each visit, but the violations are of varying severity since then. In January, inspectors found three high-priority violations, three intermediate infractions, and four basic issues, the high-priority issues dealing with food stored at unsafe temperatures.
What? Come on.
Don't eat it if you don't trust it. This potentially hazardous food was poultry, duck, rice, beef, and ham that was found in a walk-in cooler at temperatures higher than the required 41 degrees. You ever been in a store and you're buying meat in those open counters and it feels a little warm to the touch?
Never buy it.
I don't trust
never,
it.
Never buy it.
Yeah. They said the ham now to be the warmest up to 57 degrees.
Feeding the president is a big deal. When the president comes to Chicago and he has dinner here, or President Obama, remember that? He doesn't eat that meal. He has his own people prepare things. It's not the restaurant that does it. This is a big deal.
Yeah. So 50-some degrees for ham and poultry and food that had to be thrown out.
I'd eat it.
Of course.
Bring it on. Let's go.
You're a single guy. Top 6 is 6. Number 4, the FOP has a new president. On his first full day as president of Chicago's largest police union, Officer Kevin Graham appeared at a news conference, talked to reporters, seeking new details on his plan for leading the police force. He spoke for 1 minute, offered no specifics, said thank you, and walked away.
And we have a quote from him here, Pete, saying that he wants good communication and that everyone be treated with respect.
Okay. All right. Top 6 at 6. At number 5, Dan Rooney, the longtime Pittsburgh Steelers chairman, as Carm mentioned, passed away yesterday at the age of 84. He was a huge influence on the NFL.
This is one of the great people in the history of the league. He was most famous perhaps for the establishment of the Rooney Rule that was, 2003. It required teams to interview minority candidates for head coaching and senior football operation positions. So this is a guy that was about people. He was about winning. He was the U.S. ambassador to Ireland.
Right.
Obama gave him that role back in 2009 because it was extremely important to him.
The outpouring of love on social media yesterday, off the charts.
2016, he was from the Jackie Robinson Foundation. They honored him with its Lifetime Achievement Award as well.
The family has been involved with the Steelers since 1933. Wow. And he started as a water boy at age 12.
Played high school football. Got after it. Was the backup to Johnny Unitas.
Was he really?
Not bad, right?
Steelers chairman Dan Rooney passes away at 84. And finally, the 6 at 6, the 90s TV hit Friends will be turned into an off-Broadway show in the fall.
You gonna get in there? I like you on that role.
Do people remember the Brady Bunch?
Of course.
Well, yeah.
They turned that into a play. How'd that do?
Not well.
How about the Blues Brothers? Remember that play when it came to Chicago and came and went after 14 days?
I don't even remember the play.
Me either.
I was there. I went to the opening of the Blues Brothers.
Can't believe you're dogging the Friends play before it even gets off the
ground. How about Rocky? Remember Rocky? That was a big deal.
That was a play?
Yes, that was a play a year and a half ago. Does anybody remember Rocky?
No.
They turned it into a Broadway play. It came and went within a month.
Was there music?
Remember Spider-Man? You two did the... the soundtrack for it?
You legit go to plays?
I don't.
Wow.
Okay.
I go to Steppenwolf when I can.
Okay.
That's about it. Yeah.
So now we have Friends as
Friends
a play.
Friends off Broadway.
My first question was, were they going to bring back the original cast? Apparently not.
I would say no.
No.
All right.
Only need two sets.
that is your top 6 at 6. The big story coming up next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
$6.39, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. If you have not done your taxes or your taxes are half done, we will have CPA Lewis Sands on right after 7 o'clock. You can send us your questions now at 312-981-7200. That's our text line, also our phone line, 312-981-7200. They'll tell you how to file for an extension, too. So that's coming up at 7:10. Our next guest, man, you want an inspirational story? Listen to this. This guy was a competitive swimmer, won many awards, woke up one day and was blind. Woke up one day and he was blind.
I would say that's top one fear for me.
And that's where the story starts. He will be speaking at this year's American Cancer Society Walk and Roll at Soldier Field on Saturday, April 22nd. And listen to this. He'll be heading to the 2017 World Para Swimming Championships in Mexico City this summer. It's Tucker Dupree. Tucker, your story is so inspirational. How you doing, man? Good morning.
I'm doing wonderful. How about you guys? Thank you so much for having me on.
I want you to tell your story because it's truly unbelievable. You started swimming at 10 years old where you could barely swim, right?
Yeah, totally. I'm a Southern boy that lives in Chicago right now. I'm originally from North Carolina and I moved here in 2014. I woke up when I was 17. I was a high school senior trying to be recruited and go on to college and race. And I couldn't see out of my left eye. And within 4 months, I went 80% blind in both eyes to a rare condition that basically happened whenever I was trying to go to college and swim. So it was all painless. It just all happened overnight and out of my control.
Was it a disease? Is this hereditary? What was it?
Yeah, I have a rare condition called Leber's hereditary optic neuropathy. And basically, I was one of 9,000 people diagnosed with this condition whenever I was diagnosed. And basically, they told me you could go completely blind. Thankfully, I haven't. I just have 80% vision loss, and it all happened overnight.
But you can't drive. You can't do most things that a lot of people can do, right?
Yeah, totally. I drove in the state of North Carolina. You can drive with one good eye. So when it all started, I was okay. But until about February of the following year, I had to turn in my driver's license, which was tough just for the fact that that's your independence as a high school student where I lived. And it was really tough. But also, I was able to just kind of have a great support system around me and really take my parents changed their schedule to get me to swim practice and still have the ability to keep swimming. So when I moved to Chicago, it really unlocked my independence again because I was able to take public transportation and really become a human just by being able to be independent.
Well, tell me about when you were 17 years old. You're blind. You're in high school. Did you go through a deep depression?
It's funny whenever I hear that question because I didn't, because swimming was something that was such a constant in my life. The great thing about the sport that I do, I was able to consistently do it, and I didn't have to change that much. There was a lot of little tweaks I had to make in the pool. I had to start counting my strokes. I had to start doing different things in the pool, but I was able to keep doing it, and it kept my mind off of it, and it's a sport I didn't have to talk about it. I could put my face in the water and just keep swimming.
And you just went on and became a competitive swimmer, and now you're swimming in the Para Swimming Championships in Mexico City. How long have you been doing this in the Paralympics?
So I'm a three-time Paralympian. I've represented our country for the past 10 years in the second-largest sporting event in the world. I swam in the Beijing Games in 2008. I swam in the 2012 Games in London, where I won 3 medals, a silver and 2 bronze medals. I swam last year in Rio. And I won a bronze medal on 100 backstroke, and I've won 17 world titles as well. So it's been a great career. I've been very successful, and I'm excited to put on the Team USA uniform again this year in Mexico, and represent our country for another year. So it's very surreal. I always tell people I've done more without sight than whatever I've dreamed of doing with it. And, it's been great to be able to use that platform with a disability and travel the world and represent our country.
Damn, man. Life's all about attitude. You have such a great attitude. I have so much respect for swimmers because, of course, I consider myself a swimmer. I took swim lessons last summer because I can never swim. And swimming competitively is the most difficult thing. Number one, you have to you just burn so many calories. You're eating how many calories a day?
Yeah, I've never counted. I just eat when I'm hungry. I'm one of those people that I snack a lot and make sure that I put good fuel into my body to make sure I'm successful in the pool. But
I've never seen you, but I'll tell people right now, you probably have zero fat on your body, and you probably put down 6,000 calories a day.
Great abs, Tucker. I know it.
Is that true? How much fat?
I would like to say that my sport is very gracious in the physique that I get the sport.
I mean, it's just crazy that, I mean, and you guys are so strong. How many times do you practice a week?
So I train about 6 hours a day. I swim 2 hours in the morning, and then I'll do like a cross training event. So like either lifting or some type of auxiliary workout right after that. And then after that, I do another 2 hour session in the afternoon. So it's about 2 hours of training, recovery in between, make sure I'm eating, you know, massages, all of those things are really important. Because I mean, it's a full-time job. It's one of those things that, yes, we only get showcased every 4 years on TV, but at the end of the day, we have to make sure we're keeping our bodies in shape and racing and still competing. So it's a year-round thing, and it's a lot of enjoyment, and it's a love-hate relationship. It's a lot of training for the smallest improvement. In 2012, I logged all of my workouts before the London Games, and I trained around 3,600 hours from January till the summer when I needed to race.
You're
for
kidding.
21 minutes of racing over 10 days.
Oh, my God. I mean, I swim. I try to swim for a half hour, but I take numerous breaks in between. I don't want to compare myself to an Olympian here, but it is so hard. It is so hard to swim. It's the greatest workout ever. And as you get older, you need the low-impact workouts. But swimming, wow. My wife's an avid swimmer, grew up in Wisconsin, and I always said to myself, I need to take swim lessons to swim so I can swim in the lake when we go up north. And my son is 11 years old, such a great swimmer. First of all, everyone needs to learn to swim. I know you guys are laughing at me, and Mary's looking at me like, wait a second, we wanted to talk about the walk and roll, but you're just an inspiration. You do it, and you don't have sight. That's amazing to me. It's just crazy.
Well, I appreciate it. It's one of those things that I when people say, like, I can't imagine that, I mean, I can't either. If you would have told me when I was 17 years old that I would have the opportunity to swim around the world and make it a career, I would have laughed at you.
Right.
And I think it's amazing that I've been able to make something that a lot of people would turn into a negative thing into such a platform to stand on and be successful. And I wouldn't be able to do that with like the people that have helped me and all the, you know, support that I've had, like BP and stuff, especially with walk and roll this year. I mean, it's amazing to me that they have, this is their sixth consecutive year. They've raised over $2 million and just research for cancer. I mean, it's crazy to think of companies to me that, you know, I get to be affiliated with them and get to do those things like this event. It's exciting. And I just think that it's so cool to be able to have an opportunity to stand around people that will be at that walk and roll event to me that are inspirational. So it's an amazing thing. And I'm so excited to be a part of it this year and just really see just how, I mean, impressive those people are to me. So it's one of those things that's what I think life's all about, you know, is having those people around you, like at the walk and roll event this year, to
sure
really party with a purpose. You know, I think that's their slogan, and I think that's amazing.
Cancer survivors, people with cancer will be there. I mean, this is an event, the American Cancer Society walk and roll at Soldier Field on Saturday, April 22nd.
I like partying with a purpose. That sounds like a good
don't we all?
A good motto. Hey, Tucker, two questions. What's the biggest thing that you miss when you from not being able to see anymore? And then what's the thing that turned out to be the biggest benefit of this thing that you've turned into a positive?
Something I miss the most would definitely be driving. I really enjoyed having a car and like being able to say, you know, I'm going to go jump in the car and go for a drive. And I think now it's just really translated into I'm going to jump on the L and go walk around the city and listen to music or whatever that is. That's something that I really, it's like a very good like zen place for me, just to have that moment of alone and being able to walk around and enjoy that. And something that I've enjoyed from all of this would really be able to, I mean, take a sport and take it around the world. I mean, every kid dreams of being in the Olympics or being at the highest level of their sport possible. And the fact that I've been able to do that for the past 10 years and, you know, stand on the podium and put a medal, have a medal put around my neck and tell all the people that told me I'd never live an ordinary life that they were right. It's been extraordinary. That's so awesome to be able to have that opportunity because every, you know, we all have that choice. You know, I had to pick between what was right and what was easy, and it's easy to become depressed and give up, or I can do the right thing and leave a legacy.
Go
and
Tucker.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Jeez, what an inspiration listening to this, man. And I can kind of relate since I'm a swimmer, and I kind of, you know, I feel like we're on the same team. I can't wear a Speedo, though. I'm a board short guy.
Okay. All right. That's all right.
Yeah.
Hey, you're getting in there, and every half hour you're doing is a half hour other people aren't. So your health is number one.
Look at that. He turned it into a positive.
Yeah, he can't help himself. He's
I love this
person.
Guy.
Tucker, can you read without Braille?
I can. So I actually use a lot of different – I use the iPhone. It's got a Zoom feature, and there's just little things that a lot of people wouldn't notice that I do. They're kind of like blind hacks. That I use, like I'll take a picture of a menu and then I zoom in to read the menu since I can't see it. And I just read it out of my peripheral vision. A lot of things like for crosswalks in the city, I'll look at the crosswalk above me since I can't see far enough to see across the street. And there's just a lot of things. I went to a blind school actually when I was losing my vision to like do a rehab program so that I could learn how to be independent in society because there's a lot of things in our city even that you wouldn't even know that are for blind people, like Braille, obviously, but the bumps and the curb cutout that before you walk out into the crosswalk,
right.
That's actually for blind people.
Right.
A lot of people, I've had friends who are like, isn't that for traction? I'm like, no, it's so a blind person using a cane can feel that and they don't walk out into the street and get run over. There's a lot of those little things that you just learn. So it was adapt and overcome. That was basically the mentality I had, and it was something that, you know, I had to figure it out or get left behind.
Walk and roll at Soldier Field, benefiting the American Cancer Society on Saturday, April 22nd. Tucker, where can people follow you on social media?
Yeah, so all my handles are TuckerUSA1, and then that's Instagram and Twitter. But also, yeah, that's basically the only things that I really work on. Facebook as well, but TuckerUSA1.
Damn, dude. Great to talk to you. We got to get you in studio next time. I didn't realize that you lived in the city, but you'll be there on Saturday, April 22nd at Soldier Field for Walk and Roll. Tucker Dupree, you're an inspiration, man. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. You guys too.
Thanks, man. God, what a great story. I love talking to people like that.
Yeah, it makes us feel we're losers.
It's not supposed to do that.
I know, but he's awesome.
It's supposed to make you happy.
I actually
no
want
problems.
To swim now. I'm not a good swimmer.
This kid went blind, and he still continued to swim, counting his strokes, and now he's representing the United States of America in the Olympics, the Paralympics, and he'll be in Mexico City this summer.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Will you look at those morons? I paid my taxes over a year ago.
Dad, that was last year's taxes. You have to pay again this year.
No, because you see, I went ahead and year-wise, I was counting forward from the last previous. So, March, how many kids do we have? Oh, no time to count. I'll just estimate. 9. Okay, I need some deductions. Deductions. Okay, Marge, if anyone asks, you require 24-hour nursing care. Lisa's a clergyman. Maggie is 7 people, and Bart was wounded in Vietnam.
Homer, you know we don't have...
Shut up, shut up. If I don't hear you, it's not illegal.
Tomorrow's tax day. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, our text line. We're taking your text messages, and we're going to talk to this next guy for advice. Lewis Sands is on the phone with us. Lewis, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Good morning, guys.
Hey, man, I'm getting so many text messages about people. You know, I feel like tax day snuck up on a lot of people this year, even though we know it's the same date every year, especially me. We're usually done easily by the end of February, and this year, I just sent my wife a text. She's like, the taxes are done. Everything's been sent electronically. Yesterday.
Oh, perfect. See, and you've got days to spare, so no problem.
So when is the deadline this year?
Sneak up on everybody. You know, it just seems to sneak up on everybody every year, and that's just par for the course. So we're used to it.
Well, so when's the deadline? It's not tomorrow. When is it?
It's actually Tuesday, the 18th.
Got it. All right, Tuesday the 18th.
And that's because everyone thinks April 15th, it falls on a Saturday. So then you would think, well, okay, Monday is the 17th, but it's actually a holiday in Washington, D.C., so we get an extra day on top of that. So we try not to tell too many of our clients that because then they'll take those extra days.
give people a few extra days, they'll take a few extra days. They will do that. Before we get to the questions, people are sending us text questions right now at 312-981-7200. For people that are halfway done with their taxes, haven't done their taxes, the extension. Can you talk about that?
Sure. And that's, you know, that's pretty much what's happening at this point, right? When we're in the 11th hours, there's no reason to, yeah, I was laughing out loud at the play-in with the Simpsons, but trust me, we've seen that sort of panicking and it's not the end of the world to extend. People seem to think that I'll get audited or whatnot. You won't, you know, if you can't get your taxes done, if you don't have all your information, you file an extension and you've got 6 months to get your return in. Now, the only caveat on that is it's extension of time to file, not an extension of time to pay. So if you think you're going to owe money, you have to try and give your best guess and you have to pay it in with that. If you think you're getting money back, well, then you're just hurting yourself and just file the extension and get your ducks in a row.
Do you still have to file an extension if you're getting money back?
Well, I mean, yes, technically, you have to file an extension because otherwise the return is late. But then the penalties and the interest, right, that's the hammer on filing late, is a percentage of what you owe. So if you're getting money back, then you won't get a penalty on that. But it's a good idea to file it on time. I mean, why wouldn't you? If you're getting money back, if you can't get your information together, you should at least file an extension. It's literally just a piece of paper. There's no fear associated with it. Get your stuff in and get your money back.
What's a main deduction that people miss? I feel like we're doing things all the time that could be deducted, but we don't tell our tax guy that, hey, I do this.
Well, and that's an excellent question. And the thing is, we have people, the flip side is true. We have people that are constantly trying to take things that are deductions that just aren't. But some of the things that are commonly missed are just from a deduction standpoint are, you know, your medical expenses, your charitable contributions, your meals and entertainment expense. I mean, it people think tax deductions, they think it's got to be something that's unpleasant. If you're at a business lunch or you know, if you've got, you know, if you're doing something charitable, you get to deduct. There are certain expenses that you get to deduct for that. Business travel, these sorts of things. You just have to be careful because the things that are quote unquote enjoyable are oftentimes the things that are scrutinized and often abused. So, you know, if it's a legitimate expense, you know, mileage associated with business travel, you take it, but just be careful because, you know, if you abuse it, that's a red flag for audit.
So if I went across the street right now and bought Pete McMurray a coffee, could I deduct that?
Absolutely, because you would never do that if it weren't for business purposes.
Right. Well, I mean, we're doing business right now.
What about for salespeople out there? They have to wear a suit. How come you can't deduct your business attire?
Because the IRS says that you can't. Because I mean, business attire, dry cleaning, right? I mean, if you
dry cleaning, my wife, God, I'd be a millionaire by now.
Yes, and again, it fits perfectly within what you would logically think would be a deduction, but
right.
it nothing is deductible unless the IRS specifically says that it is, and there have been court cases and regulations. It's a complete open and shut case. You cannot deduct not only your business clothes, your suit, your dry cleaning, your actual commute to and from work, which couldn't be more tied to work than driving to work. You're not allowed to deduct those miles either. If you drive to work, nope. But then once you're in work, if you drive around, you know, hitting a couple of different meetings and things, that's deductible. But your commute is not even a deduction. It's just easy answers because the rules say it's not allowable.
What about a percentage of your tires if you're a salesperson?
Well, I mean, as a percentage of your tires, I would say back up on that and just go to the actual auto expense in general,
okay.
Right? I mean, if it's your business car, your gas, your oil, your tires, for sure, your routine.
Well, it's your personal car, but you're using it for business.
Well, then that's you're right on the right track with that. You need to have good records of how much, what percentage you're using for business versus personal. Easy examples, if it's 50-50, then take, you know, then half the miles, half the costs, half the tires, half the oil. That's a deductible expense.
See, but nobody actually keeps those records, and everybody, I think, just eyeballs those. How much danger are you in if you're just eyeballing? Well, I think I traveled X amount of miles, or I had this many, whatever. How much gas? The whole thing. Like nobody has those.
If you
receipts.
Get audited, you're going to have to make up those receipts.
Is
or
that...
you're going to have to make up that log in your car?
Can I let the expert tell you that it's okay?
Well, first of all, if you were one of our clients, we would suggest that you would already have all of those records, and, mm-hmm. and it would be all your ducks would be in a row. But I mean, the danger with anything is if you're getting audited, obviously that's the big fear everybody has is I don't want to get audited. If you're telling the truth, you know, all audit is an inconvenience. You're just proving that what you've done, you know, whether it be a charitable contribution or any of these sorts of things. But you know in advance that you need to. That you're going to potentially need to support that. There's nothing that you attach to your tax return to support it. If the IRS comes in and asks for support for your 70,000 miles of business travel, if you're not able to show it, well, then the worst thing that can happen is they'll disallow the deduction, and you'll have to pay the taxes that
right.
saved you. Yeah.
Lewis Sands on the phone with us. Lewis, hold on a second. We're going to check traffic and we'll get to everyone's questions. 312-981-7200. Lewis Sands on the phone with us. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, 7/21. Tax day is tomorrow. You have the extension until Tuesday. On the phone with us, he is a CPA. It is Lewis Sands. You can go to Sikich, SIKICH.com for information on getting a hold of Lewis. Lewis, you ready for some questions?
Let her rip.
All right. 312-981-7200 if you have questions for Lewis. What if I can't pay all of what I owe by the due date?
Pay what you can because, like I said, you should pay something. Well, first of all, let me back up. You should definitely file still, right? Because there's any number of penalties and interests that you can incur. One is late payment, late filing, and underpayment. So that's three different things. You might as well minimize it. If you can file on time, pay what you can, and then any penalties and interest will be on the difference. And then, you know, the IRS is certainly, you know, willing to take payments over. If you send another check in next month, they'll cash it, and you know there'll be small interest. But it's you know you're going to end up having to pay it. But it's not worth you know going out and putting a third mortgage on your home or anything like that. It's not the end of the world, but just understand it's a debt that you've got to pay. But you know, over time is better than not at all. But pay as much as you can.
I sold my house this year. What can I deduct on my taxes?
Well, if you sold your house first and foremost, you'd want to have a very good, make sure you report it. Most people, as a general rule, can't claim any taxes if they had a gain on the sale of their house. If you lost money, if you bought it for $400 and sold it for $3, you don't get to deduct the depreciation in value. But if you're single, the first $250,000 is not taxable. And if you're married, that's a $500,000 gain. So if you bought it, like in my example, for $4 and you're married and you sold it for $900, you don't have to pick up any of that tax. There's still a form where you'd want to report that just so that, you know, the IRS is aware of it. In addition, you'll want to take a very close look at the closing documents, any closing costs, any prepaid real estate taxes need to be accounted for on your tax return and the sorts of things that transfer fees. All of this is either deductible or ends up on your tax return one way or another, and you just want to make sure that it's accurate.
Can I deduct driving miles if I drive over 50 miles each way? For example, if I drive 100 miles each way, can I claim 100 miles at 54 cents per mile?
Well, when I hear each way, I'm thinking that the second half of that is to work. No, you can't deduct any of your commuting expenses. You know, so that's a long drive. But I think the mileage rate is correct. But your to and from work is not deductible mileage expense.
Could you imagine if you could deduct that? People that commute from the suburbs. It's crazy
would it
stuff.
Still be worth it? That's still that's a lot of time in the car, though.
What can you write off? I mean, it's always a slippery slope. What can you write off for the normal person? Can you rattle off a few things? Of course, miles, car repair to a certain extent.
Well, sure. You know, and the sorts of things that, you know, if you just think about it, it's very little is deductible. It's your mortgage, your mortgage expense,
right?
Your real estate taxes, your charitable contributions, your medical expenses. But these are the sorts of things that are deductible. but they have to exceed certain thresholds before you know, for medical expenses, for example. They're deductible, but only to the extent that they exceed 10% of your adjusted gross income. So if you've got health insurance, it's very uncommon
right.
someone to have, you know, but some things to remember, you know, obviously we live in Illinois. There's if you're making contributions to, you know, the 529 plans or something like that, that's deductible on your state return. There's certain school related expenses where if you have to pay fees and K-12 expenses, a lot of times people miss those expenses, and that's something that, you know, it's not life changing, but if you're entitled to it, you should take it, and you save $3.75 for every $100 that you spend. You'll take it, and it's just the sort of thing where it's important just to keep track. We find that the biggest number that of in terms of expenses that people don't get is their unreimbursed business expenses. That means, you know, your union dues, right, your fees associated, professional publications, things expenses that you're incurring to do your job that are not reimbursed by your employer. Again, as you talked about earlier, you'll want to keep decent records of that, but that certainly adds up. I mean, over the course of a year, it can be, you know, several thousand dollars, and you know, I don't want to minimize mileage, because even 1,000 miles, which is not a lot of business driving, at 54 cents, is, you know, that and it's typically a lot more than 1,000 miles. It adds up. So that's really where we see a lot of money left on the table, is people don't spend money just to get a deduction. That's because, at worst case,
right,
you're going to save 40 cents on the dollar. Well, you're already spending it.
Lewis, for people that are listening right now that already did their taxes and suddenly they thought of something that they forgot to deduct, what do they do? Because, well, I just thought of something, because union dues, I'm a member of SAG-AFTRA and I pay in, and I forgot to list that this year.
Well, and again, what you can do, you're always within your rights. The statute of limitations on a tax return is 3 years. So you've got 3 years to go back, and what you can do is amend the return. And you just got to, you know, internally try and determine whether or not it's worth it, right? If it's a dollar, you don't go back and do it. If it's $1,000, well, then maybe you do. And you just go back and your 1040, the amended return is a 1040X, and you just file that. You make your changes, and if you're going to get more money back and it's worthwhile for you, then you do so. And that's the short answer. And then, of course, once that happens, if it changes, now a deduction, it won't change your Illinois return, but if it were a number, you know, we see all the time, that's one of the biggest mistakes people make, is they just forget things. They're a 1099 or something like that. And you know, you can only, it happens all the time. All you can do is your best, and if you have to go back and amend the return, always don't forget about Illinois as well.
Okay. Mary, do you have something?
I do. So already for next year's taxes, I've gotten some receipts for some charity stuff we've donated to, and I just put everything in a folder. But is there an app or anything that to keep these things digitally, so I'm not doing this
archaic?
So
you can take a picture of the receipt?
Yeah. I just feel like this folder is an old-fashioned way of doing
we
it.
We do the same thing. We have a folder in our kitchen.
That's exactly where it's at. It's like, I feel like there should be a better, I don't know, more real system.
A better system.
Right. And again, first and foremost, the fact that you're even thinking about 2017 taxes in 2017 puts you at the top of the heap, and that's the sort of, at least keep it. In terms of an app, there's not any one app that necessarily I would advise over any other. If you want to go digital with it, I mean, please, we still get the shoebox full of receipts. If someone were to give us a thumb drive instead, you know, take a picture of it. If it's the sort of thing where you can just scan it in, you know, if you've got, you know, scanners or something
scan,
like that,
yeah,
then just do that and save it all in a folder, and then when it comes time for CPA tax time, just forward that, and in most cases that's going to suffice. Just again, make sure it's secure. You know, mm-hmm. you don't want to have your personal identification
take a picture
out, over the cloud. Yeah, sure.
Tax folder for photos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that works.
When the IRS comes after your clients, what are they normally coming after them for? Why do these people get flagged?
Typically, I mean, that's an excellent question, and it's less than 1% of all people get audited, and of all of them, only less than 1% of those make less than $200,000. So if we knew exactly what the IRS what flagged them, we would be doing a lot better. We'd be billionaires. Right? But as a general rule, the more money you make, you know, because there's limited resources. So they're, instead of coming after me, they'll come after, you know, someone that makes a lot more money, like Pete or someone else, because if they find something, it's going to be much more worth their while. But what they're looking for is things that that are often abused, right? So if you've got a home office deduction, if your chair, and it's all diagnostic. So if someone makes $100,000, they know that on average, that's, pick a number, $3,000 of charitable contributions. If you make $100,000 and you've got $33,000 of charitable contributions, that's standard deviation of three away from the norm. They have programs that'll flag certain things and say, well, this person's got an awful lot more deductions than someone else that normally makes that kind of income. That's going to get you some attention. You know, any international filings, household employees, if you've got nannies or housekeepers that, you know, that you, maybe you're paying under the table. Hobby losses, if you're an avid, you know, if you like horses and you've got a horse and you're throwing a lot of those expenses through and saying that you're a trainer, those are the sorts of things that the IRS typically goes after because they typically get money back from it.
Lewis Sands, you can go to Sikich, SIKICH.com. Lewis, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys.
All right. It's the Steve Cochran Show. Pete McMurray in for Steve. Steve will make an appearance on his own show in about 10 minutes. Coming up next, a new proposal about taking people off flights. Vic will have that in the big story on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Game one tonight, 7 o'clock start right here on 720 WGN. Coach Q, Coach, go get him.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, let's get Steve. We need Steve back, all right? We need him at the rink here.
We do.
All right, we need him at the United Center.
Well, Pat, we'd like to give a shout-out to Steve Cochran, one of the voices on AM 720 WGN Radio. I know he's been under the weather for a while, and Steve, we're hoping you're feeling better and look forward to seeing you back here at the United Center as soon as possible.
We want to send our best to Steve Cochran, morning show host at WGN. I understand he's under the weather and missing these games. So, Steve, we wish you all the best. Get well soon. Blackhawks playoff hockey on 720 WGN.
You're my best friend, best friend. You are the best, and you're just not feeling well. Get some rest.
720 WGN on the phone with us. It's his show. It is Steve Cochran. There's a lot of love for you, man. How you doing?
Wow, wasn't that nice?
That is very nice. But I think when people start doing that, then everybody thinks something is seriously wrong.
Right, so that's why I want to call and tell you I am not dead. I am currently not. And make sure people understand that. How are you, Pete?
Good. You sound a little raspy. How's the voice?
Faking it for attention. The voice is coming back. I'm hoping it's going to be good for Monday. But, yeah, it got pretty fried. So, first off, thanks to the Hawks. That was very nice. I would have traded Say Nothing About Me and get two more goals.
Yeah.
How about that?
That was a rough game last night. They just couldn't put the puck in the net.
But as Mark Harmon knows, what the Hawks do is they get behind Nashville, and then they embarrass and hurt Nashville. Mm-hmm. So we got them right where we want them, right, Carbs?
Exactly right, Steve, and very nice to hear your voice. And I miss you, by the way. I just want to get that out there as well. But, yeah, I mean, one game, you weren't expecting a sweep, and if you were, you were just a little pie in the sky. No big deal, one loss, and the Predators had their moment and, you know, bounce back Saturday and go from there, no doubt.
Very, very, very true. How's the show?
The show's been great this week. I feel like you're probably
going.
You
find the substitute host is up to snuff. You find the guy that's filling in is good.
He doesn't bring us any food. Let's see.
I told everybody I'd buy him Starbucks today. No one wants to walk across the street.
What? Oh.
Really?
I can't imagine you can't find a volunteer. I will say this. Pete and I have been friends for years, and I've been a fan of Pete's for years, and I think you're doing a great job, and I appreciate it.
Steve,
wait a second.
No, that's
I'll
Steve.
Fill in
is that
here.
You, Steve,
this well, guy.
Hold on, let me say
already,
something back.
Everybody
about...
already has their coffee. Pete is not prepared with his coffee, and this is why he wants to buy people coffee to go get
Steve,
him.
Steve, I was trying to be nice. It's Good Friday. I'm
that
like, guys,
nice.
Let me buy you breakfast
he
and
wants coffee.
Well, but here's the thing. I just gave you a great compliment. I got watered down in the coffee.
I was going to give you a compliment back. First of all,
I've been gone for a couple of weeks and nothing's changed. It's just people doing six different shows.
I don't know how you put up with everyone, especially behind the scenes. And
wow.
Sandberg Boyle, she's absolutely insane. She has a different language.
Right ways.
She has a different language. It took me a few days to figure it out. And Mary
just
is very...
Just do what you're told, man. Do what you're told, you'll live.
Right, that's exactly what I do.
Until 10.
Right.
I don't want to take too much of your time because I know Cash Call's coming up or whatever you're doing next. What are you doing next? What's next on the show?
I just see you until 8 o'clock. I don't really have anything. Willie Geist coming up at 8:20.
I got a sponge bath coming up. I can't stay that long. But I'll go through all the thank yous with everybody Monday. I hope to be back in studio Monday.
Well, wait, though. We don't want to all get sick, though. So
listen, you got to roll the dice. You know, that's part of the thrill of working with me.
Steve, you do have quite a sexy voice, that's for sure. Your voice is...
Yeah, well, that's a new thing. I'm rolling. New thing. There's a virus called an RSV virus, and you don't want it. It's very big with little babies and little kids, and I got that on top of recovering from the previous problems of a pulmonary embolism. So the 1-2 punch got me back in the hospital. I'm out now and got great care. And I would just advise people to be very wary of the PE problem first. And the RSV thing is just, like I said, it's a double whammy. So for everybody that thought I had some horrible, dengue fever or some of the things that showed up online, Pete, did you see some of the things that people thought I had?
Well, text messages this week, people thought you were dying. I'm like,
There were heart attacks. There were brain tumors. Mm-hmm. Ebola virus, you know, that's going around. But it's serious enough. It's funny serious enough, and I don't mean to joke about it because it's scary stuff. But the good news is I got great care, and I'm on the other side of it. So I will be back. That's the good news for some and a threat for others.
Well, the good news is the tons of text messages we got this week, people love you, and the tons of text messages we got that people hate you. So the haters are still listening, waiting for you to come back, too.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, I feel badly for them because the six people that hate me most that take the time to text every day, who are they hating? Are they hating you now?
I mean, think about that. They do. Yes, they just hate to hate. Yeah.
So, well, look, you got to have people in your life who are smart enough to tell you to get medical care when you need it. Unfortunately, I do. And I've got an unbelievable family and my wife and my daughter and my son and my daughter-in-law and my little granddaughter, too. So, but the medical people, starting with Dr. Kevin, most teams have been tremendous. But, Pete, write this down now, because, Pete, you're an active guy.
Yeah.
And I don't want this to happen to you. If you ever have, real tenderness in your calf. Do you have calves, Pete? Do you have man calves?
I remember I had surgery on my calf. Yeah, that's on my tendon. Okay.
So if you get like a hot spot in your calf, like a heated spot in your calf where it's tender to the touch, that's not a great thing. Now, if that combines with the fact that when you touch it, it's very sore, and then suddenly you find yourself short of breath, you need to go to the hospital right away. Ask me why.
Why?
Well, because you may have a pulmonary embolism. What happens is a blood clot can form in your leg, and then it travels up through your heart and into your lungs. And if it goes from your lungs, it can go to your brain. You can have a stroke, but it's bad enough in your lungs because your lungs don't want it there. And if it's in your lungs, you can die. And you don't want to die, Pete. That's a terrible idea.
Absolutely not. No. But I hate the fact that you're telling us this now because my wife is listening and suddenly she's feeling her calf. I know she is.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, everyone should feel their calf, but not while they're driving. But pulmonary embolism is bad. The RSV virus, that's a crazy, crazy, crazy cold that created the worst cough I've ever had in my life. But listen, there's nothing more tedious than people sitting around talking about being sick. So I'm going to shut up now and tell you, I love you all for caring enough. I miss my job. I have the greatest job in the world. I have the greatest radio station in the world. I can't wait to get back. But I'm not going to come back until I don't infect anyone and until my voice is good to go. How's that?
Right.
Yeah, but you're missing the best part, Steve, as we spin it positive. Being sick is great. You don't have to do anything. And I've come to you for advice for 20-plus years now, going all the way back to when I interned you for you one day a week until you fired me, which was a wise move by you.
You had it coming.
Yeah, I did. I did. I mean, what do you do? How do you enjoy your day? I know you're sick, and for real, it sucks being sick, but you got to do the good with the bad, right? I mean, what do you got on the docket today?
I'm taking 12 to 15 different medications.
Wow.
Troy Murray acted like he had just heard. He's actually here in a nurse's outfit. Listen, it is what it is. I hate being sick. I don't like sitting around. I think I'm being as patient as I can be, but I haven't even been on a golf course yet, and it's almost April, 14th today. Is that right?
April 14th. Tomorrow's tax day. You're right.
Yeah. So your taxes are technically due till Tuesday. So you're okay.
Two things. Number one, I love you, and you've always had my back, and you know I have your back, and we want you to come back. Even though I want to work like crazy at this radio station, I am a fan of yours, and you know I listen every morning because I text you almost every single morning.
You know, and this little joke thing we have going back and forth where you're trying to infect me, kill me, and take my job is just a joke as far as I know. No, it is just a joke. And Pete, you sound great. I don't give this show over to just anybody. And you've done a fabulous job, as is everybody. And we love having Carbs on. By the way, where is the ATP? Did you scare them all away?
Everybody is on vacation. Andrea is in Iceland, and Dave is at a wedding in Austin, and here we are. This is it. But the second thing I wanted to ask you, it's got to be killing you this week with Sean Spicer and not being able to talk about that on the air.
Well, you got your Sean Spicer. Today is the little fat kid from North Korea Day.
Mm-hmm.
Where at any time Kim Jong, ooh, am I crazy? Kim Jong could be, doing another nuclear test. You got Steve Bannon looking for work. Is he out in front of the Showcase studio with a sign right now?
Not yet, but we expect
him to.
He'll be
grumpy for food.
Right.
You know, and you got Trump who's turned into the president now. Listen, the world's turned upside down. I can't talk, and Donald Trump is acting like the president.
What's going on here? And we had the mother of all bombs that was dropped yesterday.
It's upside down, and it's up to you to hold on to it until we get there. You know, the longer I talk to you, the more I'm turning into a Muppet. Have you noticed that?
All right, Monday you are back.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So I'm going to go now and try to protect the 10% of the voice that I have. And Mary Vandeveld, are you okay?
I'm good. Why?
Very good. Well, I'm just checking in. You're the only one on the AT that came to work.
Yes, you're the only one on the AT.
Well, Mary and Mike are here. Jacobson's here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, no, they're always there. Listen, they don't get time off. No. It's a sweatshop. I have them making T-shirts.
Well, have a happy Easter. I hope you get some nice chocolate, Steve.
Yes, thank you. Vandeveld and I share a chocolate Jones.
Yes.
And if you have the chocolate Jones, it's very good. Mm-hmm. But everybody, happy Easter. I love you guys. Thanks for worrying. Don't worry. I will be back.
Thanks, man. Love you, too.
See
Take
you
care
Monday.
Of yourself.
Bye, Steve.
All right.
See you guys.
All right. Steve Cochran, back Monday. He is not dying. Did not have a heart attack. No. He had the blood clot, and then he lost his voice and the respiratory infection.
I think it's a good decision, though, that he's not in today. I don't think he's quite ready to do the show.
No, he'd be coughing. He'd be coughing a lot.
Well,
plus, he sounds like Brenda Vaccaro. I told him that. No young people know who Brenda Vaccaro is, though.
The sexy voice.
Yes. Remember everybody always said when he had a cold, he sounded like Brenda Vaccaro.
That was the joke growing up.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, that's a quick recovery to get from where he's at right now, the way he sounds, to Monday morning ready to dominate.
I was just thinking that.
I better
be ready just in case. But no, he wants to come back. Believe me. <laughs> 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Cavalia Odiseo. I know I've been screwing that up all week. I finally went online to cavalia.com/Chicago. If you watch it, it's Cirque du Soleil with horses. That's all it is. This is a great show. It's pretty amazing, and they're doing it at Soldier Field, and we have a VIP experience for you.
Let's do it.
We'll set you up with a pair of tickets, including great seats to the show. Plus, you get a full meal buffet before the show, dessert at intermission, and an opportunity to take a stable tour to meet the horses after the show.
You get to meet the horses?
You get to meet the horses
after the
show. Cavalia Chicago, cavalia.com/Chicago for more information. We have a pair of tickets, 312-981-7200.
That looks so cool. Haven't you seen the TV trailers on it?
I haven't.
Really? They're everywhere.
I had no idea what it was. I see the billboards, and I finally went online.
Yeah, you got to check it out. It's so cool. I mean, half the show went. We apparently didn't get any tickets. But anyway.
I got a guy.
A lot of people.
I got a guy, Mayor.
It's so cool.
I got a guy.
Awesome.
I can take care of you.
Oh, really?
We have Linda on the phone. Thanks, Linda, Steve. You're going to go. You get the VIP experience.
I am so excited. Both of my granddaughters take riding lessons. They are going to be out of their minds.
Wow. Down boy. Linda, congratulations. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And you too.
All right. Thank you. There you go. Coming up after 8 o'clock, of course, we're going to talk to Dean, a very high-profile Hollywood couple, just filed for divorce yesterday, and we'll talk to Willie Geist at 8:20 this morning.
You ever ridden a horse, Pete? You ever saddled up?
Many times.
Yeah?
Sure.
Where?
Wausau, I'm sorry, Wausau, Wisconsin.
That's where you go skiing.
Minocqua.
In Minocqua, Wisconsin, Minocqua? You rode a horse?
They have horses in Minocqua, guys.
You were like, get in my car and drive to Minocqua and go horseback riding.
I married
huh?
a girl from Wisconsin.
Yeah. I married a guy from Wisconsin. We never did any horseback riding.
Oh, yeah, you were hanging out with the wrong people.
I guess so.
Yep.
You ever got on a horseback in a Mexico?
I did in Arizona.
By the way, if you go horseback riding now,
yeah,
they put helmets on people.
Come on.
Yep.
Soft.
You wear a helmet.
Probably smart.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Or kiss me, kiss me.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Let's bring in Dean Richards from WGN-TV. Dean?
Always nice to hear your voice, and a bonus today, a little weekday schwanny.
Hey, good morning there, Mr. Richards.
Oh, you two are back together, usually Sunday mornings. That's right.
Sunday morning. Together. Sunday morning.
Oh, this is wonderful.
Don't worry about me, Dean.
Dean, Ben and Jen, they're done.
Wow, you're getting right to the bad news.
Because I want to tell you my feelings on this. Ben Affleck, of course, you know, guy's guy, but I think he's got anger issues. I think Jen is just a hometown sweet little girl, and she put up with his drinking and philandering for years, and she finally said, you know, enough's enough.
He went through alcohol rehab. They've been trying to work it out. They announced that they were splitting up 2 years ago. So this wasn't, kick him to the curb kind of thing. She obviously, felt like this. They might get back together again, or she would have ended it a long time ago.
Right.
But reasons that are known only to them, they decided to make it official yesterday. They both filed divorce papers without the help of lawyers, very amicably. So their 12-year marriage will be coming to an end. I'm sad about this.
I feel like for
whatever the problems that Ben Affleck may have had, that many of which you've listed, I think that the last couple of years he's tried to really work on his problems, and I admire a couple that tries to work it through.
As you reported, he went through rehab again, and he announced it on his Facebook page because he said he did it for his family and his kids. Yep. But he was living in the coach house behind their big house for the last year, right?
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Living on the property. They would still vacation together. They still co-parented together. I think they love each other. I think this is just one of those cases where the two people love each other and have decided that they can't live together.
Like you and Cochran.
Can't be. Yes. That's why a lot of people think Cochran's out because he's not feeling well right now. We're just going through a little rough patch.
You're working it out. He'll be back on Monday.
He told me, you go do the show. I'll sit back for a little while.
I'll take it easy. All right. Big movie this weekend.
Witch.
Big movie this weekend. Fate of the Furious.
Yes. What else would you want for the Easter weekend? What says Resurrection of Jesus more than the eighth in the fate of the, Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious franchise. Fate of the Furious movie.
It's going to be a monster.
It's going to be a monster. They're expecting $120, $130 million debut, which is enormous. They stick to the formula with this movie that lots and lots of people like. I happen to be one of those people that like the Fast and Furious movies, am somewhat embarrassed about how much I enjoy them.
Why is that? People are afraid to say that they love these movies.
Because they're stupid.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's okay.
These movies are just pure adrenaline.
Right.
They're cars on steroids. There are wild stunts. I have to say that I kind of marvel in they come up with new things to do with their cars, with their muscle cars in each of these movies. You know, and, you know, if I'm thinking rationally, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to try to, you know, get a bomb that could destroy the world. I'd better pack up 8, 10, 12 of my favorite muscle cars with me and go to 5 different countries around the world.
Yep.
Pretty sure I can't find vehicles in other countries.
Nope.
Around the world. I better bring my own. So when you stop and think logically about this, that's what spoils the movie. A lot of critics this morning, I was laughing hysterically at some of the reviews of this movie because they take the story so seriously. Mm-hmm. You cannot take the story seriously whatsoever. You go, you sit back, you enjoy watching dozens and dozens and dozens of cars being blown up and destroyed.
And The Rock was a great addition to this franchise.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree completely. In the storyline this time, the Vin Diesel character, Dominic, goes rogue. He goes against the family, which is, you know, that's been one of the major storylines in all these movies. You never turn your back on the family. You've always got the back of your the family members here, and he goes rogue on the family. Nobody knows why. It's slowly explained in the film. But this movie is about the car aerobics and the explosions and the special effects. They have added to the cast this time Charlize Theron, who is the villain. Scott Eastwood is the new beefcake in the movie, sort of replacing Paul Walker. This is the first movie completely without Paul Walker, although they do refer to him several times. And Helen Mirren in a way too small role. She needed to be in the movie more, but it's just absolutely delightful. I had fun. I had fun watching this movie.
You recommend this movie?
Giving it
to
a Dean's List B. Dean's List B on this one.
All right.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Happy Easter. Have a great weekend.
Same to you, and I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend.
Are you on Sunday?
I am.
Okay.
I am. As a matter of fact, I was just trying to figure out, I'm going to run some classic interviews. It's difficult to get guests on the holidays.
Sure.
Because they, for some reason, they think their families should come before making an appearance coming on my show.
Dean Richards' show.
There's crazy priorities people have. So we're going back into the archives for some classic A-list interviews this weekend. But Chwani and I will be there live. Right, Chwani?
He's
always right at the microphone when you need him.
He's eating breakfast right now.
There's my Chwani, always at the microphone when you need him.
Have a great weekend.
See you guys.
All right, Dean Richards from WGN. Let's take a look at traffic. Willie Geist is coming up next from NBC's Today Show. Here's Mary. <laughs> 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Our next guest, he's celebrating his one-year anniversary as host of Sunday Today. It's been a year already. It's Willie Geist. Willie, I can't believe it's been a year.
Pete, how you doing, man? I can't either. It was actually, I was a year ago right now. We were in like final rehearsals, getting the lights, the studio, is the logo the right color, all those things. And it's been fun. I was looking back at the full year of guests we've had from, you know, George W. Bush to Oscar winners and rock icons and CEOs. It's been cool. It's been fun.
That's my question. The last year, who's been your favorite? Who sticks out right away? Is it George W.?
I just think in terms of gravity of an interview, it was a little bit different than some of the other ones we did. You know, we do a lot of movie stars and rock stars and all that. And to be able to spend some time at MacDill Air Force Base and talk about his book about veterans, but also, you know, you've got a chance sitting across from George W. Bush to sort of see where he is on his legacy and talk through the decision to go into Iraq and whether or not he has regrets. So I think that's the beauty of the balance of our show is that we can sort of go anywhere. I mean, I can interview a president or I can interview, you know, John Bon Jovi the next week, as I think we did back to back. And
yep.
And so hopefully in 7 or 8 minutes, which is longer than most interviews you'll get anywhere else, we can teach you something about the person you thought you knew that you didn't know.
And you have Julia Louis-Dreyfus on this coming Sunday.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. Northwestern product, by the way.
She went to all the basketball games, NCAA tournament. Her son was on the team.
Did. That's right. Her son's a walk-on. She went there, too, as did her husband. And actually, that's where she was plucked. She was doing Second City and all those great improv groups around Chicago. And Dick Ebersol, who was running in the early 1980s, Saturday Night Live, happened to be in the audience one night, loved her husband, and walked up to him and said, "Hey, do you want to be on Saturday Night Live?" She was 21 years old. and all of a sudden she was thrust into that show. And obviously, you know, Seinfeld, which was, she was not in the pilot for Seinfeld. It was just those guys, and the audience did not like the show. That's a piece of history people don't realize. It's the test audience on that said there was, I guess, I think the review, and we talk about it in the interview on Sunday, is that no segment of the audience wanted to see this show again. It was universally panned by the test audience, rescued by a few executives who still thought it was good at NBC, but they actually brought her in after that because the feeling was they needed it. It was a little too bro-y, I guess. And she went on to become Elaine Bennis, and now we've talked a lot about Veep, which comes back this Sunday on HBO sure. as well.
When they showed the footage during the NCAA tournament of she and her husband, Brad Hall, it's like I turn to my wife, I go, how come we don't cuddle like that? They just look so happy, and their son is, you know, on the basketball team. I mean, all couples should look like that. I was a little jealous, I got to be honest.
They're normal too. Like they've known each other since college, so they've grown up together. And she wasn't Julia Louis-Dreyfus when he met her; she was Julia Louis-Dreyfus in college when he met her. So, they have a very normal, real relationship. And I don't know. She's just like, it's one of those people when you go to interview, you feel like you hope you're going to like them because you think you do based on having watched them on shows and on TV, and then they sit down across from you. And she was everything you'd hope she'd be. She was funny. She was smart. She was awesome. I think people are going to like getting to hang out with her for a few minutes on Sunday.
Charlie's, by the way, is a sophomore at Northwestern. He's when I've talked to him, seems incredibly down to earth and smart and funny and all that. So they've done a good job parenting too. For the record.
He definitely got his parents' sense of humor. I saw those locker room interviews. That was sort of his role during the tournament, I think. So I went to Vanderbilt, who Northwestern beat in the first round of the tournament. So typically I'd be rooting for Northwestern because I was born in Evanston and I know a lot of people in Chicago. But I had to root for Vanderbilt. But I think in the first 5 minutes of that game, they showed a cutaway of Julia Louis-Dreyfus maybe 17 times. It was like, we get it. We got a celebrity fan. Yes. We got it. They hit the over on that, the over-under for Julia Louis-Dreyfus cutaways in the 5 minutes into the game.
His mom is at the game, and she's famous. And if you go on the Today Show website, Willie, and search you, they show your playlist. And what is this playlist for? Is this what you work out to?
I haven't seen the one that's up there now, but it's for music that we play during the show.
Oh, okay. If
it was a playlist I worked out to, it'd be about 2.5 songs long, because that's about as long as I can make it in a gym.
Come on, you don't work out?
Occasionally, very low impact. I don't know. I've never been a huge workout. I mean, you have to, when you reach a certain age, I'm over the age of 40 now by a couple of years, and you have to, I found suddenly I had to, you know what I mean? It used to be I could just pour any crap I wanted into my body and there was no impact.
I hated people like you. Yeah,
I know, but you know what? It hits you like a brick wall. So, yes, I will say I work out more now than I used to, but not a lot.
So who picks out the tunes? Because I saw Weezer as the first thing on your playlist. Yeah. I'm like, no. Well, Willie, no way.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. So I've got one of our producers, Boyd McDonald, who actually is based in L.A., is a huge music guy. And so he and I kind of go through, but he's the executive producer on it. We try to mix in some classic stuff, not obvious, like current pop music, unless there's a great song, but we'll do that, too. I think we had an Ed Sheeran song last week, but I grew up on hip hop, growing up in suburban New York. So we mix that into just try to make it a little more interesting than your standard sort of TV news music fare and give you a little something else to hook into.
Well, I was going down the list. You got some Wilco, you got some Luke Bryan, Ryan Adams, of course, in there. And then I finally see Springsteen and The Who at the bottom of the list.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's
got to have some
right.
classic
fact,
rock.
I think two weeks ago, Luke Bryan was our profile, so that was probably where that song came from. But yeah, I think I think you get used to in news, you get like either generic music or whatever the allegedly cool song of the moment is. And I don't know, I just like spreading it out and give a little something for everybody. It's the music I listen to, so what the heck, let's share it, see if people like it.
Is it bad to say Sunday mornings that it's comfortable to see you on TV? When people are sitting around, because it's comfortable when I turn it on Sundays.
Oh, good. No, I take that as a compliment.
Okay.
I think especially on Sundays, because Sundays you're not scrambling out the door, you're not running to work, not getting the kids ready for school. I think you can take some time on a Sunday, and that's why I like it, is that your audience is willing to sit with you through a longer interview or a more in-depth piece or maybe something that's a beat off the news that's
right.
Like, what is this story? And then by the end of it, hopefully you said, oh, I'm glad I know about that now, but it's not something I would have expected. And that to me, that was the appeal of Sunday mornings, and the beauty of it is that you've got an audience who's going to stay in their pajamas, pour a cup of coffee, and hang out with you for an hour.
You're the best, man. Congratulations on 1 year.
Pete, thanks so much. Always good to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Willie. Talk to you soon.
All right.
That's Willie Geist, Sunday Today, celebrating 1 year this coming Sunday. All right, the big story coming up next, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran at 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
For us right now, we just got to keep getting better in this series. That was a pretty good game by us, but for sure we have better.
Obviously, the goal was one of those plays where we looked like we should have got the puck, and we might have missed some coverage on it, and that was, one of their few chances they had all night and took advantage of it.
We want to play ahead and not have to play catch up and try and win games from behind, especially against a team like this and how stingy they are defensively. So that's not the best case scenario.
For all of us, I think we'll take a message tomorrow and kind of regroup and learn from this one and listen to what the coaches say, see what's the best recipe going forward.
8:41, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. The Hawks lose last night. Our next guest, you can hear his podcast, Blackhawks Crazy, on WGNRadio.com. In studio with us, Scott King. Everybody just needs to take it easy.
I think so.
They need to relax.
One. Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And these guys have been here before.
It seems like the Preds came out last night. They were on it.
They were. I actually like the Blackhawks start. You have Taze wins the opening draw. They kind of dictate the pace, how things are going to go for about the first 8 minutes. Then there's that fluke Predators goal by Victor Arvidsson. You kind of had three Blackhawks forwards, blow some coverage maybe, bump into each other. That's not going to happen a lot, but when it does happen in the playoffs, it's going to be in your net.
Let's bust out the stats here. The Blackhawks in games 1 through 3 in a playoff series, they're 31-33 under Coach Q. Games 4 through 7, they're 45-16. Why do you think that is, Scott? Why do you think they start slow, get better as the series goes along?
Yeah, we've seen this story before. I actually asked Patrick Kane after the game last night if it kind of takes a game or two to get a feel for the series and a feel for who you're playing, and I think it does. I think this is how the Hawks play playoff series. I think they're measuring their opponent. They're seeing how to play them, and that's why I like my game 6 prediction. I saw them probably losing a game at home. And I think they'll be fine. They made adjustments in that game. The first period, you have the Predators clogging a neutral zone, which they've done to the Hawks before, which other teams do to the Hawks all the time. And there's ways around that. You got to chip pucks in. You got to have crisper passes. And you saw that. They had a really good second period. And I thought they played well in the third, too. They just couldn't get a goal.
Right. Scott King in studio with us. His podcast is Blackhawks Crazy. What is goes through, and we had Coach Q on yesterday, and he said, the three things we got to do is, number one, we got to have a fast start. Number two, we got to crowd the net. And number three, we got to put the puck in the goal, which seems pretty basic.
Seems simple, yeah.
But what goes through his mind? Because, he is the master of the line changes during the playoffs. Does he ever tip you guys off to that, or he just does it, and then you find out later?
Yeah, it's a lot like how he coaches during a regular season. You had a guy on the top line, Nick Schmaltz, maybe didn't have a great first period. He's dropped to the fourth line. He's centering the fourth line in the middle of the game, in the middle of game one in the playoffs. So you kind of come to expect this from Q, that he's going to move guys around until he sees what he likes. And, lesson learned, he played better in the game, threw him back up on the first line before the game was through.
Well, and you mentioned Nick Schmaltz. And listen, they've got a lot of young players on this team. You're looking for a lot from Tanner Carroll. You're looking, a lot of these guys are playing in the playoffs for the first time. I think that's just something.
We had Ryan Hartman on the other day, and he skipped high school to go to a Blackhawks rally,
Right. I mean,
yeah.
And listen,
these guys are nervous.
Well, do you think they're nervous? Do you think that's going on?
Well, look, they have four guys who haven't played in the playoffs in their lineup before. So it's.
Would you be nervous? I'd be nervous.
I'd be very nervous.
21-year-old kid?
Sure. But you got Jonathan Toews staring at you. I those would get my nerves out. I just want to please him as quick as possible.
Yeah, and all the veterans and core guys have done a good job of helping the rookies adjust, and they know how to play with the core guys. They know to get Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane the puck and create some space for him. But look, the Penguins last year won the Stanley Cup with four or five, maybe even more rookies than the Hawks. So it's just a little bit of a growing period. Another reason I picked this to go to six games. It's just going to take a game or two for the rookies to find their footing, but I thought the third line, I thought Hartman had a good game.
How do they need to start the next game? Of course they need to start out fast, but what do they need to do?
Yeah, like I said, I like their start. So pretty much a similar way, I would say, get more traffic to the net earlier. And I think that's a way that you can kind of get around that clogging of the neutral zone by the Predators, get some pucks in, get guys in front of the net. And that's what they did as the game went on yesterday. So if they do that right away on Saturday in game two, I think they have a much better chance.
So you get Artem Anisimov back last night, and he was in the middle of a ton of action. Couldn't find the back of the net, but what'd you think of his play?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. I thought he just looked rusty the first couple of minutes, and he was one of the few guys going to the net and creating some chances, and he had a few good shots. I liked how he looked. Look, he sat since March 14th. That's a long time to sit, no matter how good you are. And he didn't start practicing until recently. So I definitely liked what I saw from him. He's one of the guys that performed last night.
I mean, you just expect the Hawks to win the first round. I don't know. Kane and Taves have been here so long, and Duncan Keith. It's like everyone in Chicago expects you to move on. So no one's really talking about this loss. What's going through their minds right now? We got this, the confidence, because they've won three Stanley Cups.
They're confident, but they're not overconfident. Crawford last night said he liked their game, but he knows there's another level they can get to. I agree. Right. Obviously, if you watch the game, they can play much better. On paper, they're the better team. If you go through the forwards and the defense and the goaltending, they have the better guys. They just need to play the way that they can play as the series goes on.
The Preds, I'd see them. Now, listen, I mean, the Hawks have been 4-5 in the regular season, so we've seen them. But this is a different Predator team. They're way more. They got a lot more depth. They're faster. You know, you don't have the old Predators. I mean, with PK Subban coming over, it's a different look. Do you think they're better?
I think they're better, and I think they can be a lot better than they have been. You know, look, they had a lot of overtime games. They went 6-12 in extra hockey, so overtime and shootouts during the regular season. The Predators did, so they could have finished much higher. You know, with a couple of lucky bounces, they could have finished much higher after regular season. And something that's different is they have, they got Subban, and Ryan Johansson's a great center on a top line, giving Taze a little trouble last night. But their defensemen now, their guys, they play like forwards. They don't just join the rush. You know, later they're leading the rush. They're getting pucks in. They're getting right in front of the net. Their defensemen, which can lead to some turnovers, some chances for the Hawks. So their defense is really sound. The Hawks are just going to have to find a way around it, and I think they will.
So you're predicting six games. So.
Yeah, I still like that. I think they'll play much better on Saturday.
Okay. Saturday night is a 7 o'clock start?
7 o'clock, yeah. Probably start closer to 7:15 like last night.
6:30 pregame puck drop right after 7. Been saying it every morning, top and bottom of the hour.
I guess I need to pay attention, man.
I'm just playing. You're not alone. Nobody listens to anything I say. Here, there, anywhere. It's okay.
And for people that have never heard your podcast, Blackhawks Crazy, what can they expect when they go to WGNradio.com?
Oh, just some good-natured hockey fun with one of your producers, the great Mike Jacobson. We
never heard
Hawks.
Of him. Never heard of him.
Nice fella. Strong handshake.
Does he know anything about hockey?
he's pretty darn good with hockey.
He wears a Sox cap every morning here. You think? I told him this morning. I'm like, Mike, what are you doing? Can you wear the Blackhawks hat this week?
Yeah, there's a couple of Southside guys we have to represent around here, though. Him, myself, Kevin Powell. We got to,
Kevin
with all
Powell.
The Cubs success, we got to stick to the Sox.
Got it. Blackhawks Crazy, go to WGNradio.com. Scott, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Good to see you. Let's take a look at traffic, Mayor.
A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down. Medicine go down.
All right, we have one more pair of tickets to give away to Mary Poppins at the Mercury Theater. 312.
Nope, taking them myself.
312-981-7200. We'll do caller number 7. You can see Mary Poppins. Remember, tickets at mercurytheaterchicago.com or 773-325-1700.
Can I ask you a hypothetical?
Yeah.
Let's say it was a Sunday afternoon, your family was out of town, and you had nothing going on, and I called you up and said, yo, Pete, I got two to Mary Poppins. You win.
Yo, Pete, I have two to Mary Poppins.
Are you in?
I love Mary Poppins.
I know, but
how do you not love Mary Poppins?
But would you go one-on-one with Carm to Mary Poppins?
I have no problem with that.
Really?
I have absolutely no problem.
Does she end up with the man of the house? Is that the musical? Do they end up together at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Right. I mean,
no,
think about it.
They don't.
They don't?
What?
What do you mean do they end up with a man in the house? She's a nanny.
No, but doesn't she end up marrying the father?
The chimney sweep? No, the father is married.
Oh.
No, I thought her and Dick Van Dyke.
Are you thinking of My Fair Lady?
It's the Mary Poppins police up there.
You're thinking of My Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady, okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I was thinking of The Sound of Music.
Who's the one with the umbrella?
Oh, that's The Sound of Music. You're thinking of The Sound of Music.
No, didn't Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins get together?
No, not really.
And Mary Poppins?
No, she flirts with him all the time throughout the whole thing.
Mary Poppins does not
have sex. I thought they hooked up at the end.
I don't believe so. Mary Poppins? No, I think she takes off in her umbrella and goes somewhere else.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Pretty sure.
At the end.
No.
Kind of disappointed with that.
But in all of them, they're like nannies, you know. I'm Sound of Music, you know, she's a governess. And
Governess sounds.
She's a governess.
Love The Sound of Music.
Governess.
I can watch that over and over.
The Baron.
Sing along to it.
I can't.
Doe a Deer. I sing that in my car.
My stepdaughter did that in the Winnetka Children's Community Theater.
Why don't you call me? I would have shown up.
Oh, my God.
Call me on a Sunday afternoon.
It's the only,
hey,
the
Pete,
only time I've
tickets.
Seen it is Catherine's show, and it was
what?
Amazing, but
what?
I won't ever see it again.
You've never seen The Sound of Music?
No.
The very first movie at a drive-in. Oh. I fell asleep, I think, 10 minutes in. It was like it started at 8 o'clock, Peoria Drive-In in Peoria.
Oh, man, that sounds
I was
like
a little
a
kid.
I think
remember
was my
drive-ins?
First movie I ever saw.
Anybody?
I love drive-ins.
Love
drive-ins. We saw E.T. at the drive-in.
Do drive-ins still exist?
They do.
There's a couple, yeah.
There's a few in the suburbs, yeah.
Cascade.
Interesting.
There's like one in Antioch or something.
Can I go back to you sing Sound of Music while you're driving?
I wasn't driving. I was a little kid. We took the family.
And when you
it
took
was
the family
you know, in the station wagon.
But you said that
food.
You sang Sound of Music in the car.
Sure, man.
Yeah, Doe a deer.
A female deer. Ray, a drop of golden
Ray.
Sun. Me, a name I call myself.
Do
a long, long way to run.
Do you do that
so, a needle pulling thread.
Come on.
Oh, look at Mary.
You guys, please.
Gosh,
The Sound of Music, we all sing
I
along
grew up
to
with
it.
Because you know why? Because we had seven children in my family.
Right.
And the Von Trapps had seven
this
children.
This is why Mary
family.
And I get along and we connect.
And we had two brothers and five sisters just like them. So our family was the Von Trapps.
Yes.
The Vandervelds.
The
it
McMurrays.
Was very cool.
McMurrays had to leave Peoria and come to Chicago. When we were young.
You
oh,
had
wait
two,
a second.
You had two Sound Von Trapp families.
We did.
With all the kids
there
you
was
had.
12. No, but you fill up the station wagon, you go to the movie theater, or the drive-in theater.
Throw all the kids in their footsie pajamas.
Do seven children fit in one vehicle?
Oh, we did.
You didn't wear seatbelts back
my
in the
oldest
day.
Sister left the house young, so she was always gone. But yeah, mostly the six of us were.
My wife freaks out when my son is buckling his belt as I'm pulling out of the garage. We never had seatbelts growing up.
Oh, well, no, you got to use seatbelts now.
It's, I understand that.
We sat in the back with the seat that sat backwards.
Oh, the backwards facing one?
Yeah.
They used to freak me out when we pull up to one of those Volvo station wagons where it had that backward facing seat and the kids would be looking at us. Be like,
oh, yeah.
Look at me.
How about the lap belt that you used to have back in the day that they just gave you the form for the waist? As if, like, how dumb was that?
Oh,
don't worry about
belt.
Your face and and the rest of your whole body. Just
it worked.
We're going to keep your hips down.
Yeah, your whole body will just go boom, you know.
Well, right I love the seat in the front seat. It used to go all the way across. Now they're bucket seats.
That's true.
Yeah, you could sit in the middle in the front. That's
oh,
what
I
was great about
spot.
A station wagon.
Yeah.
So you could put three, two seats, and just throw the rest of the kids in the back of the station wagon.
A kid on mom's lap, a kid
right.
in the middle. Yeah, they were all over.
My mother never had a baby seat. She just carried the baby.
Drive-in mm-hmm. action.
Right.
To be honest here.
No car seats, ever.
Right?
Zero car seats.
I have to be honest. When I met the kids, they were my stepkids. They were 9 1/2 and 6 1/2. And so Patrick was still in one of those like booster things.
Yeah.
And so I had one for my car because like he was in my car a lot and I hated that thing. The second he turned.
Why did
like,
you hate it?
Because it's like it looks so dorky in this car when he wasn't in it. If you're not sitting in it, it just is like an obstruction in the seat and I didn't like it. And so
Mary wants to be cool, not mom woman with the
second it's
a booster.
He, like, I think when he turned 8 or that's the right side. Like that thing, I tossed it. You know, it's like, I don't want that in my car anymore. It's like velvety black thing. It's like, ugh.
Right.
With
you didn't give it to somebody?
Encased
no.
In it.
And like it would, oh, yeah, I didn't like it at all. There was gum stuck to it. That's
oh,
the
yeah.
one that they gave me. So
who's chewing gum and putting it on the side of the booster seat?
I think a 6-year-old boy.
Do you have anything in your car? Like, is there even a bottle
nothing.
Of water in there?
There's a yoga mat in the way back. But I don't like things in general.
I'm not kidding. I probably have 6 water bottles on my passenger seat right now.
Oh.
We could run out there and count 6 water bottles.
I think
gotta stay hydrated.
Steve Cochran has like a bunch of golf hats, and Andrea has like 2 sets of clubs and a bunch of clothes piled in.
Tennis bag, golf bag, softball bag, basketball, football, air pump.
That sounds like my
you know what
car,
Mike yeah. Jacobson has in his car?
Hats.
Dead body?
Nope. Reusable shopping bags.
Oh, smart. Brother.
That's what he keeps in the car.
I keep them in my trunk, and I go into Jewel, and I always forget. I'm serious. I buy bags every single time,
that's or awesome.
I carry them in my shirt. Nope. Put them in the grocery cart. I'm not buying another bag.
That's another reason to live in the suburbs.
Well, hold on a second. You get to the counter,
get bags.
You,
yeah.
you don't run out?
No.
Oh, that's a level of laziness that I would not put on.
I'm not running out and holding up the line. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be rude.
Just put the cart in the aisle just, and go
I
get
had
the
them
bag.
Pile it in my cart, and then I'll put them in the bags when I take it out there. I'll carry them in my shirt.
You're better than this, Pete.
That's for people that live in the city because you have to pay for bags now.
Uh-huh.
All right, coming up, we're going to be joined by CLTV. Front row Phyllis will be in studio. This is a woman that knows everything there is to know about the dealings in Chicago over the weekend. So if you're looking to for something to do, she'll be in momentarily. It's 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve back on Monday in studio with us. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, it is Front Row Phyllis. You've probably seen her on Fox 32 Chicago. Explain to people what you do. Front Row Phyllis.
What does Front Row Phyllis do? She does it all. She does it all. She talks about concerts and weekend highlights. And
so are you at every concert that comes to town? Or
no.
You go to a lot of shows?
A lot of shows. A lot
really?
Of shows and backstage. And we get to do, you know, the live backstage interviews and opening nights. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Who's been your favorite in 2017? Something?
You know, Cavalia. Is actually one of my favorites. That was the production that opened a couple weeks ago.
Right, we just gave away tickets.
Oh my gosh. You have to jump on this. It's only here until April 23rd. So you definitely want
to
see it.
Explain to people what that is, because I tried to explain it earlier. I think I did a horrible job.
You did.
Yes.
You know what's crazy is it's hard to describe because picture Cirque du Soleil, but then
right.
add
horses
to
it.
And it has everything okay. from a merry-go-round.
Why you laugh? Mary's laughing because that's exactly how I explained
you
it.
You did. You did say that.
Yeah, it's just, you know what? The only way that I describe it, it's just breathtaking. It okay. really is. So, and it's something for everybody. And everybody walks away with the exact same, you know, response. It's like, this was the most breathtaking experience. So, yeah.
And okay. we gave away the VIP package. So
we did.
Oh,
so you get
well.
Dinner, you get yeah. dessert and the whole deal. And you
yeah.
go back to see the horses.
Yep. Yeah. We got a chance to do that on opening night. It was really, really great. Yeah.
This weekend, Saturday, is going to be off the charts fantastic.
Off the charts fantastic.
What is happening this weekend?
So, well, you know, Easter's on Sunday.
Yep.
So tomorrow is actually the Easter at Lincoln Park Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And it runs from 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And, you know, come out and have breakfast with the bunny, get a chance to, you know, see the animals, as well as ride the carousel and the train.
As an adult, I love the Lincoln Park Zoo.
I know, right?
Yeah. Because you can hang out with your kid and have a beer.
One, it's going to be a beautiful day, so that really adds well, to the enjoyment of the
It's going to be a lot of fun. And then also, if you don't want to do that, it's called the Bunny Rockin' Race, and that's over at Montrose Harbor. And wait till you hear this. So you get to do a 5K walker race
okay.
along to, you know, some 80s rock music. I mean, it's really going to be fun. So
what
that
time
actually,
is this?
That's at 9 o'clock. So that starts at 9 o'clock. And then at 10:15, for the little ones from 2 to 10, they have a petting zoo and a giant egg hunt. So you get a chance to see that, but it's only ages 2 to 10. So, Pete, you and I are disqualified.
I'm trying to figure this out. My son has a basketball game tomorrow. I'm not quite sure. But running in a 5K race to 80s music, I'm
yeah.
all about this.
I know. Isn't that fun?
That's right in my wheelhouse right there.
Isn't that so fun?
Yes, definitely.
I know. So that should be really fun. So that's for this weekend.
Okay. Anybody coming to town?
Yeah, we got a lot of people coming to town. In fact, next week, April 19th at Rosemont is Jay Leno. He's going to
oh,
be
he's
here.
Back.
Yeah,
okay.
he is going to. You know, he's actually one of the hardest working men in show business. He has not slowed down for a minute since he finished his, you know, 19-year run on
always the Tonight
Show.
Always on tour.
He is always on tour. He's actually one of the most demanded show, you know, for corporate speakers.
Jay
so,
is funny in concert. If
yeah.
you've never seen his stand up, it's funny.
Yeah,
it
he's
really
very
is.
Funny. You know, he also just wrote a best-selling children's novel. So, yeah, I'm telling you, the busiest guy. So you'll get a chance to hear him. That's on April 19th.
That bums me out that you say that because I feel like I could write a children's book. Everybody's cashing in on that.
Yeah. Well, okay, go ahead and start.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to follow you. We'll do it together.
If you notice, all the people with the successful children's books are famous.
Right,
people,
of so course.
Yeah.
You see Jay Leno's name, you're going to buy it for your kid.
Yeah, the McMurray right. family. Oh, that might no, sell well in Peoria.
Pete McMurray, no, it's not. You're not going to get a book deal with that.
Not so much. Well, also on April 19th, Mike Posner is going to be in town over at the House of Blues. And, of course, the teens and tweens love Mike Posner. And you know him from his remix of I Took a Pill in Ibiza. That's the guy that wrote that. Remember
that song? Do I know
song?
That song? Was he yes. in a Disney show or Nickelodeon?
No, but okay. you've heard the song. It's been playing like 1,000 times. And then right. Cooler Than Me is another song. He actually got his kickstart with his friend Big Sean, who's a hometown buddy.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's going to be April 19th over at House of Blues.
Got it.
So, yeah.
How about something that I'm interested in?
I think Mary's going to be interested in your next one on your list here.
I think so, too. And this is a really good one. So it's April 22nd over at Chicago Theater, and that's Julianne and Derek Hough are going to be yes. in town. You know them from Dancing with
Please.
The Stars.
What are they going to be doing?
Well, they're of course going to be
dancing. What do you think they're going to be doing?
They're just going to dance?
Hello.
No.
They do sing, too.
They do. They do sing. What? They dance. Yeah, and yeah. what's really great is, you know, they actually put this together a couple years ago, sold out, and then they're still, you know, kind of reinvented it, and now it's actually bigger than...
I can't imagine what they're going to be doing. Okay, how well can they sing?
So it's
are they
dance.
Singing, too?
They are. So it's dance, music, and it's all inspired by the four elements, and that's earth, wind, and fire, not the group, earth, wind, and fire, and water. So they kind of add all these different dimensions. There are two shows, 3 o'clock and an 8 o'clock show.
Really?
Does yep. anybody else find it kind of weird to be dancing with your brother?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the way they
you
dance.
You know what, though? It's very common. I know because they always, most of these girls start dancing and then they needed a male partner and then
yeah,
they had
well, yeah.
a brother
they
that
dance
was
with their
especially
siblings.
In figure
yeah.
skating. That's very popular. But, you know, they did a preview to this show, Phyllis, at on Dancing with the Stars. They did one of the numbers showing how their divorce affected them when they were growing up. So they had like a mom and a dad figure, and it was a very emotional contemporary dance. But
wow.
it was a really cool preview. Right. Shush.
I don't think I'll be going.
It's very important to mention is that the only person that's doing Dancing with the Stars that's around right now is me.
Yes.
And thank you, Mary, for volunteering me.
We have to
Pete,
start talking.
Where were you?
I was busy. I told Mary I couldn't do it.
Mary, where were you?
Me?
Oh, me?
She's done it.
I declined.
Oh,
she
Mary
declined.
Yeah, Sandberg Boyle.
Uh-huh.
Everybody... I was forced to take dance lessons from age like 3 to 18, and so I have a bad experience.
What? a lot of people declined, but Mark is stepping forward. He's doing a Dancing with the Stars competition on
really?
May 13th.
Our boss, Stephanie, claims she's going to be in Iceland, so she couldn't do
you
it.
You got any moves?
No, Carmen? No, absolutely not. And
I don't think so.
And Mary's like looking at me every day. Have you started your dance lessons?
Yeah, you only got a month. You better get going.
I haven't
well,
started.
Julianne and Derek Hough need your help.
Huff.
Whatever.
Huff. That's Adam.
Wait,
not
didn't
Adam's
she
brother.
Date?
Yeah, Ryan Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest
yeah.
for years.
And
right?
now she's engaged. And I think getting married pretty soon.
Yeah,
and
I think it's really
And he's still
actually.
Out there on the market.
It's my okay. last-ditch play.
He is cute, too.
She
yeah,
is,
right?
She is hot, but I don't need to see her in concert. Chicago Theater, when? When is that happening?
That is on April 22nd okay. at Chicago Theater. Two performances, 3 o'clock and an 8 o'clock performance.
The 3 o'clock is perfect for your schedule, Mary.
Perfect. A matinee.
Seriously, I wish they did more of those concerts. I'd love to go to see a concert at 3 in the afternoon.
Right.
That's why I love Lollapalooza. You can see some bands and then you're home by 8 o'clock.
It's great, perfect. Isn't it?
Yeah, it really
Phyllis,
is.
Phyllis, he yeah. told us today that he's going to spend this weekend watching Coachella online.
Oh, that's great.
Well, Coachella, you know.
Coachella's big.
Yeah,
Coachella's
it's huge.
Huge.
And Lady Gaga's going to be performing. You can watch her free on YouTube. Why wouldn't
yeah.
you do it?
I know that was a big thing for them to put together. Actually, Beyonce was supposed to be there, but then they, you know, because she's pregnant with twins. And
right.
So now Lady Gaga, yeah, you'll get a chance to see it. I think it's great. They're actually having conversations about doing that same thing at Lala so that you'll get a chance to. I don't know if it's a good thing or it's a bad thing. What do
Why
you
not?
Think? Really?
They only have so many tickets and there's
right.
millions of people all over the world.
That want
to
so watch
why wouldn't
it.
You do it?
Yeah.
I love Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
I love street festivals. I love that scene. Sandberg, I know you hate it.
You are drawn to people.
I am.
I'm drawn away from people personally, but you are drawn to, if there's the more people there, the better here for you.
I think. It's amazing to see how they build this little town inside Chicago for Lollapalooza weekend.
Yeah.
It's
and then
pretty
they
amazing.
Rope you in and you have to follow their rules, and you can't carry in things you want to carry in.
I don't need to carry anything. I'm going to see music. I'll buy a few beers, have some fun, watch some music, and leave.
See, yeah. I think it's too germy for you. Like, there's just people everywhere. People
I am not. Why do you think I'm a germaphobe?
I don't know. You when you blow, you get the toilet paper over there. You go through.
I'm blowing my nose. That's why I have it. Are people watching this on CLTV?
They see it all.
I blew my nose this morning. That's why I have the toilet paper instead of paper towel.
You go like seven rolls a show, though. It's an aggressive. It's an aggressive.
Have you seen the size of this nose?
Did you ever think of buying a box of Kleenex to put in there?
No. You forget. Yeah.
Too expensive, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, you just forget about those things. And Front Row Phyllis, anything else?
Yeah, well, don't forget about Billy Bob Thornton and the Boxmasters are going to be over at Joe's Live, and that is on April 23rd.
Joe's on Weed Street?
Joe's
great
on,
venue.
Actually, Joe's Live in Rosemont.
Oh, in Rosemont.
Which is even better because, you know, you have parking, you got all the restaurants, you got Bub City. It's a great, great venue. And, you know, these guys have been playing together for 10 years.
I know. Can he sing, though?
He can. You know, we had them on, I don't know, a few months ago. We played some of the music, and it was really good.
Isn't it good? It's like 60s. It's kind of wild because it's like early 60s hillbilly meets British invasion. So that's kind of, and they've also come out with seven
exactly,
albums.
I had that on the tip of my tongue.
60s hillbilly meets British invasion. Okay. Was he nice when he came in?
He was nice, yeah.
Did he talk about anything outside of music? Because he separates the two.
Yeah,
so if you have him in for music, he's not going
to
talk about.
I just wanted to hear the Sling Blade voice, but he didn't do that for us. So.
I'm telling you, if you haven't jumped on board and watched Fargo, he is so good in season two of Fargo. It's the best show.
That was the best.
Really?
Every Fargo's been good.
Every
Another
Fargo,
one starts
the
next
best
week.
Series on television,
really?
Period. Yes.
Okay, I'm in.
April 19th, I think it starts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for that, Mary.
Welcome. I'm all on.
Yeah.
Mary V and I are really bonding today.
I'm going all in. I'm going to buy the set or whatever you do for those shows. I'm getting it.
Front Row Phyllis. What's your website? People can check you out.
FrontRowPhyllis.com.
All right. Thank you for coming in. It's good to see you again.
Thank you. You too.
It's 720 WGN. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. I'm still upset that you think I'm a germaphobe. I come from a family of 12 children.
Didn't you the last time over Christmas when we were doing shows, didn't you have like a, you had a some Purell, you had a lot of cleanly stuff going on. Am I crazy?
I wipe the board down. I wipe everything down when I get here because I feel like everyone is sick.
Wiping the board down is a little germaphobia now.
Well, I'm in charge.
No, it's not.
I'm Captain Kirk here, okay, running the Starship Enterprise, so I'm in charge of all the controls.
Mary.
Okay, so you got
to
take care.
You know how many people are using that board? You have to wipe it down.
Yes,
after
thank
everything.
You for that, Mary.
I do that in the newsroom. I go in there. I'm on three.
You
got to
wipe
computers.
It down.
Got to wipe them all down.
But you're a germaphobe too, aren't you, Mary?
Not really.
The germs are everywhere. You're going to get them anyway.
I agree. I'm with you. This is the only place that I wipe it down.
Yeah, we're kind of offended too when Mary does that in the newsroom. By the way, all of a sudden you walk away from a news station and she's wiping it down and she gives you that look and it's like, what? What'd I do?
You're
I'm
eating
working.
All that food all the time. Your grimy little hands, you gotta do it.
Well, Carm says to me, you're a germaphobe. You have a roll of toilet paper behind you.
I don't
what does
know,
that mean?
I don't know anybody who goes roll of toilet paper always
That's
at the ready.
That's my nose.
I know, but you have, I mean, you're at the ready.
It's always in the studio here.
But you go over to, you have an aggressive amount of toilet paper you use for each one.
Well, I don't want snot on my hands.
Right.
People on CLTV are like, who is this guy? Well, when's Cochran get
Listen,
back?
There's nothing wrong with being a germaphobe. You're mm-hmm. you're probably keeping the world safe.
I'm far from it.
Just a, well, okay. Yes. Okay, how about this? You're meticulous.
We are going to talk the best restaurants in Chicago.
He is meticulous. And he's also kind of an anorexic, so.
What do you mean?
You have like
now everyone's turning on me. Cochran's coming back Monday, and now the show turns on me. You loved me on Wednesday.
But it's good. Mark Carmen just forgot your sandwich that he went to go get you. So
that was rough. Pete sent me, or I volunteered to go.
I bought coffee for everybody.
Yeah, thank you so much. I got a beautiful,
you
delicious.
You got yourself a coffee?
Yeah, I got a vanilla latte right here.
So I sent him over to Starbucks. I said, get me the turkey bacon, hold the bacon. He's like, what do you mean? I go, it's Good Friday. I'm Catholic. And you'd never send a Jew over to Starbucks on Good Friday. There it is.
Well, you didn't even bring you bacon either. He didn't bring you anything.
He didn't bring anything. He left the sandwich.
I forgot. I brought the coffee, left the sandwich. Now Stephanie's over getting the sandwich. She hasn't been back yet, which means I think they ate the sandwich.
Did you order and pay for it?
This is the worst.
I most definitely ordered and paid for it and didn't grab it, which I've done before once.
Oh, my God.
Here's Stephanie.
Here is Stephanie
here
with the sandwich.
There's the sandwich.
Thank you very much. No meat. There it is.
Turkey bacon sandwich. Nope, turkey
Got
bacon.
Got it. Trying to be a good Catholic today. Thank you, Stephanie. You're awesome.
You're welcome, Pete.
I hope Cochran's not at home listening to Howard just running his show into the toilet. Okay.
Back to the toilet paper.
Chicago Magazine has their list of best restaurants. Jeff Ruby from Chicago Magazine will be in studio right after 9:30 at 720 WGN.
When my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face, I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you and the day's all right with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake-up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
Cochran Show. 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve will be back on Monday. Chicago Magazine has their list of the 10 best new restaurants, and in studio with us from Chicago Magazine is Jeff Ruby. Thanks for coming in, man. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
So what is the criteria for this?
The criteria are we consider restaurants that open between, I think, March 1st, 2016, and then the end of February 2017.
So they have to be new restaurants.
New restaurants.
Okay.
Every now and then a restaurant will open. We've done this for many years. A restaurant will open in, like, sort of the netherworld in between dates.
Right.
Fall in between, and we, you know, get in all kinds of trouble or whatever. But this year, I think we got a really good list. We focus on food, obviously, but then also service, beverages, consistency, ambiance, the whole thing.
Are you a restaurant guy for Chicago Magazine?
Yes.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, I'm
a dining critic, I believe we call him.
Yes.
Bad service has to drive you crazy.
You know, it's funny. People will return for bad food if they are treated well. But if they are treated badly, they're never going back.
The number one reason, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've always heard this from people that work in restaurants, the number one reason that people return to restaurants, does anybody know what it is?
The food?
No.
It is not the food.
Service, for sure.
It is not the service.
No?
It is recognition.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, come on. Pete, great to see you. Carm, come on in. Let me buy you dessert.
I agree.
People love recognition, am I right?
True. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I don't know. I'm the opposite of that. Sometimes if people are too familiar, I'm like, oh, God, we can't go there because they're going to want to talk to us.
You're the exception.
I want to be invisible. I don't want them to know I'm there. I don't want to.
Really?
I'm like a ghost.
Come over. Send me drinks. I love it. Nah. Come on. I'll talk to the owner. I want to see the guy or the woman. Absolutely. Okay. Where are these restaurants located? Are they in the city? I think I saw one in Evanston. How do you pick?
Yeah, so we try to cover all of Chicagoland.
Okay.
And it usually shakes out with most of them are in the city. And I think we've got The Barn, which is in Evanston, and Hand Bun, which is a place in Westmont. But the other eight, I think, are all city.
Okay.
With a heavy emphasis on the West Loop, which wasn't intentional. It's just there's a lot of action over there.
And a lot of new restaurants.
A lot of new restaurants.
Well, let's start there.
All right.
What are your favorites?
Well, the number one restaurant this year is Oriole, which I think is just a miraculous restaurant. It's owned by Noah Sandoval and Jeannie Kwan, and it just got 2 Michelin stars also. It's like, you know, it's only a year old, and it's already kind of at the upper echelon. It's a prefix menu. That goes on for about 3 hours with full of surprises and interesting stuff. And it's just one of those places that you walk out and you're just like, man, I wish that night could have gone on forever.
I feel like it's one of those where you're it's like being on Top Chef, the experience of where I like prefix menus because I want you to showcase, give me your best stuff, don't make me pick.
But so many of these prefix menus are chefs showing off, and this
I'm just the opposite. I agree with you.
This does not feel that way. It didn't. There's nothing show offy about it at all.
What kind of food?
I mean, what do you call? You know, cara oranges and coconutty Vidalia onion soup. Like it's I guess it's contemporary. I guess you call it contemporary.
How much?
That's a good question. I think it was about $190.
$190?
18 courses, $190, which it sounds absurd, but that's not so
per
bad.
Person?
Oh, I think that sounds great.
Per well, you, family? No,
you,
I don't.
You have people Three listening hours. That like to come downtown and check out these new restaurants, you know, yeah. that live in the suburbs. So yeah. you highly recommend this.
I do. I think if you're going to make a special event of something, that Oriole is the place right now.
And how long are you sitting there? How many courses did you say?
It's 18 courses.
18.
18.
You lost me.
Yeah. Is that like one bite each? What are we dealing with here?
Yeah, sometimes it's just like a little shot of something, you know.
Just bring it all out at once. Bring me some drinks. I want to talk to my people.
Well, that's you're ruining any... this for me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No,
I love this
Other
experience.
People love the experience, yeah. okay?
I tell myself. let's go. 3 hours?
Jeff's no. like, what am I doing here?
No, yeah. no, I get it. I mean, it's, but you kind of give in to the magic of this place.
Well, it's the experience, too. People love that experience.
They treat you well. The hospitality is incredible. They do things like they make their own breath mints that they have in the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
You know? Really?
Yeah. It's. I know, it's absurd.
That's amazing. Quite the attention to detail.
Yeah. The attention to detail is stunning.
These breath mints were baked in the oven. At
what is number two?
Number two is Giant, which is a little bit more lowbrow, kind of like the perfect neighborhood restaurant. It's in Logan Square. It's Jason Vincent who and Ben Lustbader, who are two super smart guys who basically said, let's just be let's train our staff to be nice, which sounds like a no-brainer. But he said, you know how you go to restaurants and they're all hip and they're mean to you? Let's be the opposite of that. And it's true. They're all incredibly nice. Everybody there, you want them to sit down and eat with you.
Really?
And talk about wanting to go back. Like if you fall in love with the waiter or the waitress, then it's great.
What kind of food?
So I would call it American. I mean, they do, you know, like homemade biscuits, which are some of the best biscuits I've ever had.
Now you got me.
All right. With this okay. warm jalapeno butter.
Oh,
pecan amazing. Smoked baby back ribs, things like that.
I love jalapenos in anything. I feel like great. They're in everything nowadays. Yeah. I'm all for it.
Yeah. Well, this
Eggs,
guy.
Pizza.
Yeah.
Everywhere. It's true. They also had one of the coolest things I'd ever seen, which was a vertical record player. So, like, I can't describe it because people can't see my hands, but, you know, like, instead of a record player being the way we...
Horizontal, normally, yeah.
Horizontal. Uh-huh. Yeah, that word. Uh-huh. They've got it in between, like, the kitchen and the bar, and it's vertical, and it's spinning, and I'm not sure how it works, but it's, like, this hipstery thing.
Okay.
And
they're well, playing... that's what you'd expect in Logan Square.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. Guys with beards, you know, that
and
sort of thing.
The price is reasonable?
Very reasonable. Okay. Very reasonable.
All right, give me number three.
Number three is Smith, which is going back to probably a place that you wouldn't be caught dead in.
Now he knows me.
but I love it. And it's another prefix sort of upscale place in the West Loop. It's a husband and wife team, John Shields and Karen Shields. She's the pastry chef. The way I described this in my original column about them was it was the weirdest prefix menu I'd ever had. It had just really strange curveballs and like a one dish that was just a bunch of tongues that were pickled and things like that. And I thought it was really awesome. It might sound like a train wreck to you. I don't know. But
I'll eat any food. I'll try anything. Absolutely.
You just don't
want
to be there for 3 hours? That was the,
I don't. I just can't sit for 3 hours.
This is another place where my guess is if you said, hey, can we speed this up? Let's move it along.
Well, I'm sure you could ask any restaurant to do that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one, number four.
Number four was Quixote, which was a restaurant that I I freely admit I thought was not going to make it. And has proven me wrong by being awesome. It's a Mexican restaurant, also in Logan Square.
Yeah.
Owned by a former food truck guy and a journalist. So it just sounded like how is this going to work?
It's going to be a train wreck.
Right. But it's really great. And there's a mezcal bar in the basement that's really, that's hopping all the time. I think it's a really awesome place.
And what type of food are we talking here?
This is Mexican. So it's
all
like
Mexican?
Regional Mexican, but they put a lot of...
So do they know that you're coming in, so they're going to make their best dishes, or you just come in and just eat incognito?
You'd have to ask them. I for years have been hiding my identity, and just recently have.
Thank God we're not on CLTV right now.
but recently I realized that it doesn't matter. It does. No dining critics, very few. I won't say no, but very few dining critics hide their faces anymore.
Okay.
And I'm out there, but the Quixote guys, I don't know if they knew I was there. I don't think they did.
How were the tacos?
Tacos are great.
God, I love a good taco.
Well, you'd like it.
That's
you'd like
awesome.
This place.
Number five?
Number five, I think was
Royster.
Royster, which is Grant Achatz, who is kind of the king of Chicago restaurants, and Andrew Brochu, his chef there. It's also on the West Loop. The way I described it is it's got lots of points of entry. They've got like this unbelievable chicken sandwich for lunch. They've got really awesome cocktails. They've got a kitchen counter that you sit at where you watch the chefs do it, which the first time I went, it was so stressful watching these guys because they all looked like if I mess up. And I don't think it was because of me. I think it was just like it was a tense kitchen.
Okay.
But I think now that this was right when it opened, I think now they're probably a little cooler. But it's just it's a fun place. It's super fun.
I feel like newer restaurants, the signature cocktail is the thing now. They like to have their own type of cocktails that they invent.
Yeah, and the Royster cocktails are kind of, they go beyond because they've got a cocktail program that they share with the Aviary, which is like really
good.
That's
really
good. Yeah, so they're nice. They know what they're doing.
Jeff Ruby in studio from Chicago Magazine, the best new restaurants in Chicago. We're going to take a break and we'll go through the last five coming up. It's 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself.
9:53, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve back on Monday in studio with us. Jeff Ruby from Chicago Magazine going through the 10 best new restaurants. And we are on number six right now. Number six
is Kitsune.
Kitsune.
All I'm hearing is Stevie Wonder here.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Kitsune, it's a Japanese BYO owned by Ileana Reagan, who has made her name at a place called Elizabeth. And she's running this really kind of cutesy little restaurant. God, it just sounds so...
Is the food...
She poured everything into this place.
She
and
did,
I'm calling it a
cutesy
little
restaurant.
Is the food as beautiful as it was at Elizabeth? Because that food is like... beautiful.
It is pretty beautiful, but it's a little bit more sort of minimalistic Japanese, but like unbelievable ramen if you're a ramen fan. They do these like really great donuts for dessert. Mm. It's just pure pleasure.
What's the price range here?
Price range is a little bit lower than some of these others that we've talked about. I'd say you could get out of there for, $35 to $45.
All right. Fantastic. All right. At number seven?
Number seven is Hanbun, which was a place that I talked about a moment ago. This has got an interesting story. It's a couple living out in the western suburbs who own a Korean... It's in a Asian mini mall, basically, and they run this Korean restaurant by day, and by night they host these upscale dinners in their kitchen, which is... like just there's nothing like it, and it's great, and they're super nice, and it's BYO,
okay,
and it's terrific food, but you're eating like in this kitchen under these funny lights, and they're like right on top of you and stuff like that, but this guy's a James Beard nominated chef, like he's a real deal.
Okay,
so weird story, totally worth the drive out there.
Being the dining critic for Chicago Magazine, I mean, you like the experience. It's just not about the food, it's about everything.
Yeah, and this is a great memorable experience. I mean, you bring a couple bottles of whatever you're drinking, and
right.
and they you make an evening of it.
All right,
you get somebody else to drive you home.
Number eight.
Number eight is Lenya Brava, which is Rick Bayless's first opening in many, many years. And he, I think, knocked it out of the park. And he did it, and the way that I describe it in this article is he basically did it with one arm tied behind his back because they have no gas hookup. They have no stoves. They just they do everything on like a wood burning in a wood hearth. So all these chefs had to learn how to make all these dishes without using stoves.
You're kidding.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Can that last?
It's lasting. It's packed every night. They're doing great. It's a 700 degree wood burning oven, and it's great. I mean, it's dishes like octopus carnitas, which you put in, you know, these homemade tortillas made with Oaxacan heirloom corn, with lime pickled onions and frise and warm bacon dressing. I mean, it's good stuff.
He always has an emphasis on being really true to the preparation of
Bayless
food of regions that he visits and keeps it.
Is he a good dude?
Consistent.
Do you guys know him?
Yeah, and he nice. Takes his entire staff of all of his restaurants. Well, I don't know if all of them, but he takes his staff to Mexico like all the time.
Really?
All these people come back energized and just like psyched to tell everybody how awesome Mexico is.
Number nine?
Number nine's The Barn, which is in probably the most interesting location of any of the restaurants on the list. It's in an alley in Evanston that used to be a horse stable for milk buggy deliveries a long, long time ago, which sounds weird, but it totally works. And it's owned by Amy Morton, who is the of the famous
Morton family. Sure.
And it's sort of steakhouse-ish, but she calls it a modern meatery, which...
Okay. Anything that the Mortons put together is going to be great.
Yeah. And she's like one of the best hostesses I've ever seen. Like, she's around the room. She knows everybody. You talk about making people feel at home. Like, she is kind of the master of that.
Is this her first, or she's got more?
No, she has a restaurant called Found, which is also in Evanston, which people adore too. Anyway, it's just, it's irresistible.
I know her brother, Michael Morton, and the attention to detail in the Morton family, it's gotta be a great restaurant.
Yeah.
And finally, at number 10.
Number 10 is Bad Hunter, which it's a great name for a restaurant, first of all, partially because it's mostly vegetarian. It's on West Randolph Street, and I said it sounded like a gimmick, but it's not a gimmick. It's a very serious restaurant that happens to serve really good, mostly vegetarian food. And, you know, open kitchen... They've got a big it's one of those rooms that you walk into and you're like, I just want to stay here and drink cocktails and eat forever.
I don't mean to rush you, but we got to get going. But I'm posting it on my Facebook page if people want to check out your article. I mean, it's great stuff. And, you know, this town is now known for food.
Sure.
And I love when I see these lists out here because I'll probably go to half these restaurants that you put in here. Nice. Jeff Ruby from Chicago Magazine, the 10 best new restaurants. Remember, you can go to my Facebook page and see the entire list. Jeff, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Good to see you, man. It's 720 WGN.